Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cincinnati Reds got back in the win column in a big way last night, beating the Washington Nationals 15-1. Chase Burns threw six scoreless innings, and J.J. Bleday hit two home runs in the victory. The Red Legs will make a trip up I-71 and start the battle for Ohio in Cleveland. First pitch versus Guardians is set for 7:10 tonight. There will be a couple of Game 6s in the association tonight. First, the Cleveland Cavaliers will try to close out the Detroit Pistons at home with tip-off at 7 o'clock. Following that game, the San Antonio Spurs will try to end their series versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. And there are seven players tied for the lead heading into the second round at the PGA Championship, including world number one Scottie Scheffler. This update is sponsored by Ramos Roofing. Request your free roof or exterior assessment today at RamosRoofingOhio.com. Ramos Roofing, reliable, local, built right. Breaking sports news right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Breakfast time!
Hello, welcome to T-Bone and Tybus. Can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun.
Come on, Joe!
Featuring producer Dylan.
We're the five best rappers of all time.
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tybus.
Welcome in. Good morning. Go to hell. Happy Friday to you. I'm T-Bone. He's Tybus. Tybus, good morning. How are you, bud?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm raring to go on a Friday.
Do you know what happened yesterday?
I know lots of things happened
Last night at what, about 7:30.
I don't know that I do know what happened last night at 7:30. Enlighten me.
The NFL schedule's dropped.
So you know what that means. What does that mean?
I can play my favorite game.
which is what?
Let's go look at the schedule.
Oh, God. This is what... I forgot it's a national holiday in your house because every time we have NFL discussion in the season, you and I both do it, but you love to do it the most.
Let me go look at the schedule.
This team's 2-0. It's like, you know, they might be a playoff team. And you're like, hold on a second. Let me go look at the schedule. And then it's like the next four games, it's like a win, win, win. Hey, actually, maybe they are. Now you can do that. We can start prognosticating. We can start taking. We already knew all the games. We knew who all these teams were going to play, but now we actually have, you know, the time and date and place and
order of operations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For those who are keeping track of this, who haven't been paying attention, which I don't blame you if last night you didn't sit down and watch the schedule release, but the Browns will be starting off their season September 13th at Jacksonville, week one. I believe that's a Sunday at 1 p.m. And this just in, there's a lot of those on the Browns schedule.
All but one, right? One Thursday night game and that's it?
I think so. There are five teams in the NFL who have no primetime games.
The Titans is one of them.
Yeah. But I did see that the Browns are not on that list. The zero primetime game teams are the Raiders, the Titans, the Cardinals, the Jets, and the Dolphins. So
I don't think Thursday night games should count, but They're technically primetime games.
Yeah, I don't either because they're on Amazon. So, like, you have to go now through another hoop to get there. So that doesn't feel great to me. But, yeah, as for the Bengals, they start their season off on September 13th. Also 1 p.m. start versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That is a home game. So you get to start off in the jungle in Cincinnati. It means Baker Mayfield's coming up here.
Mm.
Play the Bengals, Dylan. You're going to go on the road and go harass him? Right from the start?
Yeah, I'm going to get tickets right by the Bucs sideline.
No, I think that's the mistake to go for that for you. Not because I necessarily think the Bucs will win that game, but because early season Baker Mayfield seems like, because he had a bad end of the season last year. He's been hearing all the chirps about how he's not that good. And, you know, he's going to be working all offseason. He'll be ready for game one.
It's going to be interesting with Cincinnati because I feel like they start off slow every single season.
That's true.
And then they try to play catch up and try to save their season in the end. But it's just like, well, if you didn't start as bad, you wouldn't be in the situation that you're in. And then obviously the Joe Burrow thing is a big health or his health is a big thing on their career. So I would love to see them get their first game against Tampa. I feel like I don't I'm not off the top of my head. I just feel like they always lose the first game, and I don't know why I think that. Even though I think that's wrong, because I feel like last year they beat
Browns
us.
The Browns have lost the first game.
The Browns 1,000% lose their first game. It's every time. Every time.
Most, yeah, right. But as for the Bengals, to your point about them starting off slow.
Didn't they start with the Browns last year?
Yeah, and they beat them, but then they started like 1-2.
See, that's what I'm saying. They do this all the time.
Well, here's the Bengals. They get an earlier bye week. Their bye week comes in week 6. So their first 5 games, I think, to your point, that'll be a good measuring stick for how they're doing. They've got that Bucs game at home. Then they're on the road against the Texans the next week, on the road against the Steelers the week after that. October 4th, also, all these are 1 p.m. games. They get the Jags at home. And then they have the Dolphins on the road. So 3 of their first 5 on the road, but I wouldn't say the Texans, Steelers, and Dolphins are like a murderer's row. You know what I mean? Texans will be decent. I mean, that's going to be a tougher game.
It will be interesting to see where CJ Stroud is.
You know, right.
Will he have bounced back from that? Obviously, the last time we saw him, it was not good. was not good at all. And that defense was on fire. So it'll be interesting to see where CJ is. I know he cut his hair. So
yeah. That's right.
It knew him. New look, knew him.
I've been a Bengals detractor the past couple seasons and have been proven right. If they're as improved and as good as everyone says they are, they should be 4-1 headed into the bye week.
Yeah, right. I think that's a reasonable expectation for the Bengals there. Look at their schedule. Like I saw that one of the Bengals, Billy Reset, who writes for Bengals Wire, had their 3 toughest games. Okay. Week 7 at Baltimore. Is one of the ones he lists.
This is for Cincy, right?
Cincy, yeah. But that's after the bye week. Week 6 is the bye week. So, like, one of your toughest games on the road. Yeah, you get 2 weeks to prepare for that. That's not bad.
The Dolphins is who the, I mean, not the Dolphins, the Ravens is playing the week before.
Yeah, I don't know. This is next level schedule analysis by Tyvis.
This is his thing.
Let's go to the other team's schedule and look at their schedule to compare that with this schedule.
24-5. So who do they play?
This is great radio.
It is fantastic. Oh,
they play the Browns the week before. Hey, how about that? The Ravens play the Browns the week before, which that's Ty Monken's old team, so it should be good.
We'll find out.
I had one burning question about the schedule when I saw it released.
Okay.
And we kind of talked about it. Steelers, Browns, that's Thursday, October 1st.
Yeah.
Will Tyvis take PTO October 2nd? He's Mr. PTO.
No.
That's a football because Friday.
Can't.
Ooh, sorry. Man. So what's your schedule going to look like?
Where is that game being played?
That is being played at home in Cleveland.
Mm.
It says versus Pittsburgh, not at Pittsburgh. So
I want to know what's your Thursday start of this show, Friday end of the show. What's your day going to look like in between?
Thursday end.
Like
of the,
you get done with the show, what do? You drive up to Cleveland? Are you gonna?
No, you're gonna go
home and rest and then drive up to Cleveland.
You're gonna take a nap?
No, I ain't gonna take my nap.
You're gonna show from here.
I'm gonna go home and. I don't know. I had to talk to him with Gibby about that. Gibby sometimes will be like, you know what? You got a morning show. We can just let you do it from Columbus. Like,
that would be an option. You know what? Gibby, we'll see. I don't know who Gibby is. Gibby, make it happen.
Jason Gibbs,
my guy. The man's going to have
Gibby.
Man's going to have a, what will he be at that point? Like a 4-month-old? Yeah, 3 or 4-month-old baby. Baby tsunami hanging out at the house too. So I'm just saying like, this would be a time where you say, hey, I got the young kid at home. I do a morning show. I don't know that I need to drive up to Cleveland for that game.
Well, Gibbe hit me up yesterday because I was on Cleveland Browns Daily with Bo. And he had through the phone. Not I didn't go up there.
I got you. Yeah.
And he was asking me that I want to come to an OTAs. And he was like giving me the days of which I can come to OTAs. And it's next Wednesday, the following Wednesday. And then sometimes in June,
when you're
obviously
going,
in June, I can't do. And then the 27th, I can't do because my kid's graduation from kindergarten is that day.
Ah, see.
So the only day logically I can do is next Wednesday.
See, look at that. This is good. This is called Tyvis's Daytimer right here on The Fan. We're going to go through everything that he has coming up on his personal schedule, which I like. That's good.
I just want to know if Dylan listened to the Iceman.
No, I don't.
Who's the Iceman?
The album.
I don't
know. Drake's album.
Drake's
album. Iceman.
Okay. Yeah.
His guy.
Well, didn't he release three albums did I see
that? Yeah, I'm not doing all that. That's too much. Yeah.
No, let me tell you right now.
He's always doing too much.
And when you put out three records, three albums,
he had a lot on
three volumes of music in one shot.
See, but this
No, I'm telling you, that means that's a signal right there that you only have four good songs. And you didn't feel good about any of those other 25, 30 songs, and you couldn't pick 10 good ones, so you put them all out and said, I don't know, let's just see what sticks. You have no idea which ones are good. Probably has two or three bangers, that's fine, but I'll put out 36 songs. Of course, you're going to find a couple. I'm just saying.
I'm sure his fans will tell you that the whole album is great.
That album is the college football playoffs that the Big Ten wants of music. That's what he's just done. It's way too many. We don't need it. Trim it down and get the best. We don't need the,
decisions.
We don't need the Tulane of Drake out there on this on the record players or out there on your whatever music device you listen on. All right. So, yeah, by the way,
Drake is cooked.
How is he? I haven't listened to it like that, so I can't really make no
sense. He has maybe one hit since Kendrick fried him.
He does take a shot at. Apparently, he took some shots at Kendrick again on this one. Trying to continue to do that.
You know what, though? This better be the end of it. Like, nah. He put his last album out of them going back at other people. And then, like, let's just move on. Right. Like,
Kendrick is not going to stand by and let Drake diss him and the king, LeBron. That will not go unpunished.
Of course not. How dare he? Can't do that. There's someone in sports who was three wins from immortality just a few years ago. Now that person's out of a job. We'll talk about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Well, the roads are looking pretty clear out there on this Friday, especially for our friends at New Albany. I think around this time, traffic starts to look pretty dicey, but looking again, nice and clear, 161 and 62. No issues to worry about whatsoever. Over on the west side, same story there. About a 6-minute commute for you on 270 between 33 and Roberts Road. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan Org.
What's the best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
Ah, damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll have a good deal of sunshine for the morning hours, then a few more clouds build in toward midday into the afternoon. It'll be a pleasant one, though, with highs around 71 today. Clouds increase coming up tonight. Lows are back to 56 for a low. For tomorrow, variable cloudiness. We'll have some scattered showers and thunderstorms around the area. Looks like the best chance is going to be in the morning, then a break, then some additional redevelopment later in the afternoon and evening. Warmer and more humid, highs around 80. For the Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
The two most mature people working at the radio station. And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skibbies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan. If your kid is complaining about not wanting to go to school, blast the volume on this show. You won't have any more problems. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
You know, T-Bone, I got the power, Dylan, to put T-Bone in jail.
Oh, yeah, you do.
You know that, Dylan?
I committed a felony. Yeah,
he sure did.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a misdemeanor or a felony.
You know what he did?
It might be a federal crime, actually.
T-Bone opened my mail.
I did.
It clearly says Tyvus Powell on it, and he just opened my mail.
I did.
You know what? I'm going to send this audio to Panama Ted, and we'll let Common Man and Ted decide.
I mean, I could actually go to jail.
Jelly. They should jail him.
Go to jail.
What if some fan, my guy Adam, sent my son, my future son, a tsunami warning shirt. It is actually really nice.
It's got a little.
And I can't wait to take this home and show the lieutenant.
It's this got a little wave on it, like a tsunami. Yeah.
Shout out to Adam for this. I really do appreciate this. And I will make sure that little tsunami rocks this. And I will take a picture and send it to so we can tweet it out from the account.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's a really nice gesture by Adam. Listener Adam, thanks for that. And, he's coming. Get ready for him. Yeah, it was sitting on my desk, and I had a package there sitting on my desk, and I didn't think to look at the name on it, but it makes sense because Tyvus doesn't have a desk here.
No, sure don't. I share with Timmy.
Well, you sit down at Tim's desk when you, me, and Dylan are talking after the show, and Dylan actually sits in Panama Ted's seat and his desk.
Even though I have a
desk.
He has it on the other side.
But then, yes, but then where he sits is in the next row of cubicles, and other people like Rothman and Matty Ice are usually coming in. They all sit over there.
It would make sense if me and Reimer traded desks because my desk is by Beamer's.
Oh, yeah,
but,
right.
You know what? Whatever.
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever. Doesn't matter. You could just use his desk because you guys are both never here at the same time, right. Unless he's filling in on some other show.
I'm trying to figure out how we run out of desks to the point where I can't get a desk.
That's disrespectful, Tybus.
Yeah,
that's
it really what it is.
They're disrespectful.
I don't want a desk, but how is it that we don't have an available one?
Because you also, you bum cars off of Cardale.
Right.
You also bum desks because you keep your water bottle at Baker's desk, even though you sit at Timmy's desk most of the time.
Well, first, Baker told me that I can... Dude, first of all, I'm not talking to Baker.
You're subleasing from Baker. On the your storage for water bottle space is there.
I'm not talking to Baker. Talking to Ted, and I'm not talking to Matty Ice.
Oh, because it's Ohio Cup week. God. Yeah.
And I ain't talking to Tito. Ain't right. Tito with them too?
Who knows? He returns whoever he wants to root for at any given time. I'm not talking to them.
Because you're a Guardians fan. Obviously, they're all Reds fans. So this, by the way, you're home of the Reds. 97.1.
I ain't talking on 97.1 the fan.
okay, good. You're here
also,
now.
We're doing Ohio Cup trivia at 7:45.
Oh, there you go. Yes. Perfect.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah.
It's gonna be a good time for you, Tybus.
That's gonna be fun. That's
so,
gonna be tough.
All right. So there's someone in sports who was 3 wins from immortality just a few weeks ago, and now that person is out of a job. That is the Edmonton Oilers former head coach, Chris Knobloch, Chuck's brother, my guy.
Does he also have the yips and can't throw to first base?
Yes, that's right. So Chris Knobloch, Chris with a K, is apparently out of a job after just 3 seasons on the job. Now, here's what Chris Knobloch did. Back in 2024-2025, Chris Knobloch came into the job after they fired Jay Woodcroft 13 games into the season. They were,
NHL cutthroat.
Well, they were 3-9-1, 24-25 start that season.
This is worse than what happened to Wilfred what's his name?
Wilfred Nancy?
Yeah.
From the Crew?
Worse than this.
Well, that was over in Celtic in Scotland. They fired him after 5 games. So they fired Jay Woodcroft 2 years ago. Just 13 games into the season. I guess this was, no, I'm sorry, 3 years ago, 23-24. Anyway, 13 games in, they fire that coach. They hire Chris/Chuck Knobloch. Mm-hmm. He comes in. All he does that season, it's get them to the Stanley Cup final. Turns the team around in that same season. They started 3-9-1, got them to the Stanley Cup final. Obviously, they have Connor McDavid there, pretty good.
Yes.
But they had a lot of other talent there as well. And so he took over a very talented roster, but turned them around, got them to the 1 win. From a Stanley Cup Look, okay, he was in the final. They went to Game 7 against the Panthers. They lost that game. Panthers win, they lose.
Mm-hmm.
The next year, gets them right back to the Stanley Cup final again against that same Panthers team. This time they lose in 6, not 7, but essentially he is now 3rd year in the job. He didn't get them as far as they should have gone in the playoffs, according to them. Now they had injuries and Connor McDavid had a fractured ankle he was playing on.
The Buffalo Bills when they went to 3 straight Super Bowls.
Well, they didn't get to 3 this year. They did not make it out of, I believe, the first or second round of the playoffs. Anyway, they fired him this year. I just want to say that man was 3 Stanley Cup Finals wins, 3 games in the Stanley Cup Finals away from having not 1 but 2 Stanley Cups to his name, and probably is not getting fired after a season like this, no matter what he did.
So he'll get hired.
That's an interesting thing. I don't know. Because
To the Maple Leafs?
Well, part of the issue this year was apparently Edmonton, a lot of people are mad at their GM because this offseason, a lot of Oilers fans didn't think they built the best roster this year.
Okay.
Thought it was worse than the last couple seasons. Obviously, guys want to get paid. They didn't pay all those guys, whatever. So now you're talking about a guy who was could have 2 Stanley Cups to his name, is now out of a job. And I wonder if people will look at him and say, oh, well, he just had all that great talent. Of course, he had Connor McDavid. Go figure, that's what he can do when you have guys like that around.
That's fair.
But
it's fair to say, I mean, it's not, it shouldn't be too difficult.
Did you see that? Because
when they lost this year, what was the series? Like, was it 3-1, 4? I mean, not 4-1, 4-2.
They ended up, I'm trying to see who they lost to. I don't remember off the top of my head. They lost the first round to the Anaheim Ducks. There you go.
The Ducks have Ducks been have playing been, well this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, they have, right? Yeah, I'm just telling you, like, this is a situation where I feel like I like the expectations. I like the fact that that franchise says, we think we can do better. I just wonder if the blame is being put on the right person. You know what I mean? Because I don't think he's a bad coach, and I don't think it's all about, oh, we just had great players. But they did not, obviously, have the same level of players that they had previously when they made the Stanley Cup. I also saw this in the playoffs last night. Former Jackets head man, John Tortorella, right? I mean, I don't think it's arguable that he's had the best resume of any coach that's ever been a Blue Jackets head coach. Did the most with the teams that he's had here, right? Multiple playoff appearances, that kind of thing. John Tortorella is now coaching the Golden Knights. Yes, he stepped in.
And they just knocked the Ducks off.
They did. They did knock off the Ducks last night. So now they're going to the Western Conference Final. And I've never heard of this. I've not been around hockey. I mean, I've watched the Jackets for the last 25 years. But outside of that, I can't say that I watched hockey much growing up as a kid. Mm-hmm. Maybe this was done previously. But apparently, they won the series. They're moving on to the Western Conference Final. John Tortorella declined to speak with the media after the game. Like, did not do his post-game press conference.
You can do that?
I mean, you're going to get fined for it.
I was about to say, he definitely getting fined.
Yeah. Apparently, also, they didn't open up the dressing room. Three players spoke to the media, including your guy, Mitch Marner. Yeah, he
of course they did. Of course he did. You know.
Yeah. By the way, Tyvus, did you see his goal last night?
No,
sent it to you on Twitter. It's disgustingly filthy.
Yeah,
but continue. I'm sorry.
I gotta look it up now too.
But yeah, I don't see it. You ain't sent it to me.
He sent it to your burner account.
Apparently,
the one where you do your the one where you have the link in bio for people who want to check out your
the link tree. Yes,
it's called this. That's how you're paying for Baby Tsunami's college fund. Of course, we got it. It's totally fun.
I got hip to the shenanigans.
I'm trying to pull it up now.
I'm sorry.
Here we go. Here we go.
Look at this.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Backhand beauty.
Oh, a deke on the backhand, ooh, too. That's something. That's crazy.
He messed him around. That's crazy. He had that goalie looking for loose change. Ooh.
Between the legs. Yeah, that's.
Hey, if that ain't number one on SportsCenter, they wrong.
Yeah. You know what? I agree with you.
Oh,
I think that should be.
Goodness.
You know what? Also, whoever's in charge of the Ducks look with the orange uniform should be fired. That's just disgusting.
It's a little much.
I don't like it. It's too much orange. And I like orange, but that's too much. It's
Dylan,
too much orange.
Thank you. This is unbelievable. Yes. I can't look away.
Get your.
Oh, my goodness. That was filthy.
All right. You know what? We'll do this. We'll tweet it out at Bone and Tyvus 971 so you can see Tyvus's guy in action. But John Tortorella not speaking to the media. I'm not sure what to make of that other than maybe he's just like, I don't like you guys. And now that I won, you want to talk to me? You're not going to get to? I don't know. But that's apparently what he's chosen to do.
Trying to keep the main thing the main thing.
Whatever the case. So they're into the Western Conference Final. Golden Knights. I can't stand
didn't
them.
Did the Golden Knights win it like their first year as a franchise or when they moved?
They didn't win it their first year. They made it to the final.
Yes.
Yeah, their first or second year. And then I think they have won.
They won it and then like the second or third year of their existence.
Okay.
And but like they're just the most spoiled franchise.
Yes.
Why?
Because they came in awesome.
Wait a minute. Was this a team that like left a city to is from scratch.
This was an expansion team.
Oh, wow. Yes.
And
that's actually very impressive.
When the Jackets came in as an expansion team, there were two teams. Them and the Minnesota Wild came in at the same time. So all the available players that were there for the expansion draft, you only got half of them. Because there's another team getting their half.
Yeah.
So both those teams kind of got screwed when they first joined the league. This team came in,
staggered it.
When these guys came in, they were the only team coming in. There was no extra team. And all the rules were changed. It was the most, their lineup to start off their existence as a franchise is unlike anything I've ever seen. You couldn't build it better if you tried. And they basically got handed that by the NHL. And then, yeah, go figure. They were awesome their first few years. Now when they don't like, when they're rough in the playoffs and they're not looking great, their fans are just obnoxious. And it's like, why don't you go through 20 years of losing before, I don't want to hear about you guys complaining. You should have nothing to complain about.
T-Bone, this goal is, I can't look away.
All right, we'll tweet it out. At Bone Tyvus 971.
Put the Jergens away, Tyvus.
Yeah. He's getting a little...
I'm wet! I'm dirty!
Pistons are whining about losing to the Cavs, and the NBA basically told him to shut up. Details in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Starting tonight, two major ramps will be closed over on the west side, and it's lasting the entire weekend. We're talking 270 southbound ramp and that 270 northbound ramp, 270 eastbound. Once again, folks, over on the west side. For that detour, you'll take 270 to 70 westbound instead, that opposite direction, I know. But then get off at Hilliard-Rome Road. From there, you can loop back on 70 in that eastbound direction. They are making repairs on that Wilson Road Bridge. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. One of these men is bald and fat. The other is T-Bone. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Tonight, Cavs trying to get this series closed out against the Pistons. You will have that game coming up. What is it? Is it 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock?
Today? 7 o'clock.
Yeah, that makes sense. When it was on a, what was it, Wednesday night, the last game?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock tip for that. Now it's Friday night. Everybody's feeling
well,
all right.
They have to do that because there's two games tonight.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
So when they was doing it the other night, it was just one, just the one game. Now they're putting the Spurs and Timberwolves at 9:30.
I can stay up later. Everyone can stay up later because it's Friday night. What are we talking about? Let's go. Let's leave these games later at this point. Now I'm going to be up late watching it. Whatever. Anyway.
Don't look for it on your TV provider. It will be on Prime Video.
Yeah. Sorry. I keep saying it's on Amazon, but it's, Prime Video is what they call it. Whatever. So Jared Allen and Asar Thompson, the end of that game, it was tied up. Was it 103 apiece, I think, right there at the end? And a loose ball happens, right? Because Donovan Mitchell tried to drive the lane. Got the ball knocked away by Asar Thompson, I believe was who knocked it away.
Mm-hmm.
He's chasing it out of bounds. He and Jared Allen collide. Asar Thompson falls to the floor. Ball rolls out of bounds harmlessly. Game is over. Not over. Over. They go to overtime. The regulation ends. But Pistons fans wanted a foul called there.
Yeah, I
remember
this.
JB Bickerstaff wanted a foul called there.
Yeah, it was a big thing.
Cade Cunningham after the game said, "We all saw the play. I think it's pretty clear it was a foul." JB Bickerstaff said, "Allen fouled Asar. It's clear. He trips him when he's going for a loose ball." Well, the NBA has a little thing called the two minute report, essentially.
Yep.
End of each game, because they've had so many controversial end of game calls, they do a report where the referees have to answer what was the call, why was it made, and then the NBA comes out and says, that was a good call or it wasn't.
You do know, I absolutely hate this.
Why?
Because what are they going to do? Go back? Oh, you know what? You know what? We were wrong. Let's go put the time back on the clock and let's go play it out. Although it's been 24 hours.
No, I know
what's
that.
The point?
Well, the point is,
all it's going to do is make me even more mad that you missed the call.
All right. That's fair. I totally get that. All I would say in response is that I do feel like there's some level of accountability that should be had by these referees.
Okay.
Where when the NBA comes out and says, like, if they have to constantly put in the same report, it's like, well, Bill screwed it up again. It's the 15th time this year we've had to talk about Bill getting it wrong. Like, what, you know, whatever referee.
Some
point, then they go, that's got to be
bad.
What's
your boy for the MLB that'd be punching him out?
CB Bucknor.
There we go.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not been great. So anyway, I saw this from Chris Fedor, who had this. The NBA last 2 minute report from the Cavs Pistons game shows no missed calls. The review of the final play is as follows. Allen and Thompson legally step to the same spot while pursuing the loose ball before either player has possession, and both lose their balance from, quote, marginal contact. Yeah. So that is the NBA's way of looking at the Pistons and saying, shut the F up and go play basketball. You were up 2-0 in the series. You're now down 3-2. Stop crying and play. And by the way, you didn't lose the game there. It went to overtime where you could have easily gone on and won the game if you could have just picked yourselves up. You couldn't. You had a 9-0 lead. You had a 9-point lead going in with, what, less than 3 minutes to go? Couldn't close the game out. Stop whining about this. This is a problem.
Imagine going up 2-0 and then losing four straight.
It could happen tonight.
No. It will.
It will.
It will happen tonight.
Put money on it?
I would like to remind the Cavs fans that are being too optimistic, including Tyvus, that last round, the Pistons were down 3-1.
Yeah, they were.
And came back from the dead.
Don't write them off.
Yeah, this is not unspeakable task.
No. It's clearly something that they could do.
The Cavs is two totally different things.
Are they?
Yeah.
Who are you more worried about playing? Orlando or Detroit?
I was more worried about playing Orlando.
I'm saying, like, that's a pretty good team that Detroit won.
They got more scoring options.
Yeah, but Detroit found a way to stop them and get the job done.
Detroit has been playing above their skis. They finally are falling back to reality. And the reality is they got Cade Cunningham, and that's it.
that is true, right. And the reality is, and I'll give him credit, James Harden, the last two and a half games, has looked like the bearded one.
No, that's what he looked like. He looked like just that on dude offense. From Houston.
Not just on offense. Like, he's playing good defense. He's doing it all.
That's why I'm concerned about the Cavs, because he is due to suck tonight.
Oh, of course. But here's another reason you should be worried about
Donovan
the Cavs.
Sucked last game, so he can't do it twice in a row.
I wouldn't say he can't, but yeah, it's unlikely. I mean, Tyvus, anything can happen.
He's not going to do it. There's no way that you could be terrible for 2 games.
Why would you put this out there in the universe? There's no way
Donovan
this could happen.
Take the over.
Ever since, I mean.
You heard it here first. Take the over. I wouldn't lie to you.
You don't even know what his point total is.
It's probably 27.5.
If you're right on that, you're the new degenerate on the show.
No, he already is. This is the only guy putting in daily parlays of the three of us. So, yeah, that's definitely true.
Donovan Mitchell's over under, according to Fan, 26.5.
Oh, so wow. You were within a point.
I'm not a degenerate.
So you're taking the over because you thought it'd be 27.5. It's even lower than you thought.
Take the over.
By the way, Tyvus now eats more fast food than either of us.
No, I don't.
Gambles more than either one of us.
Yeah.
And goes to more concerts than either one of us.
First of all, wait a minute.
You are out of control.
Last week, we did a show bet last Friday. Well, I think the game was Saturday. No, it was Friday.
It was Friday night.
And I told y'all to take the Cavs on the money line.
And we did.
And I know T-Bone for sure did it. I thought the game was Saturday.
I'm pretty sure the game was Saturday.
We were in solidarity.
Thank you. Yeah. So I haven't steered y'all wrong.
Okay. You could be a good degenerate, an efficient degenerate, but a degenerate nonetheless.
I just want to point out here, one thing that may throw a little hitch into your giddy up on this is that the reports are Cavs are dealing with some illness right now.
Yeah, I saw that.
So Kenny Atkinson is not on the court. Can I say what the illnesses are? First, Kenny Atkinson has a respiratory illness. Different from that, I believe it was...
It's not that new virus.
Is it D Wade?
The virus? What are they around here?
Remember Rudy Gobert? Rudy Gobert ain't rubbing on all the mics and whatnot.
No, Donovan Mitchell. Was it Dean Wade? I forget who it was from the Cavs. They said had a stomach flu though, and that's the one that would concern me. Is that if more guys end up getting that? And then have issues with hydration and all that. Bowel movements. That's what a stomach flu is. Yeah. It takes it out of you. Thank you. Yes. I'm glad we're being very
everybody
clear.
Poops. Everybody pees.
It's not really a one or a two, Tyvus. It's more like a 1.5.
Yeah. It's a bad combo. You don't want
to. You
got
to grab both the commode and have both feet in the air.
And I got to correct you, Jordan. Did not have a flu game.
He was hung. He was hungover.
Alcohol poisoning is not an illness.
Hungover. He said on the. I watched The Last Dance. He said it was food poisoning. He had a bad pizza. Yeah.
And then he approved the production company that let that go. They did no journalism on that because he paid them to have that production. Everybody doesn't realize that, I think, but Jordan was in charge of The Last Dance production.
He was pretty much the executive producer of the show.
So everything that came out of that was Michael Jordan's great. It's not like some independent journalist did that. It's just his people produced that. And they got some highlights. Certainly he was great. No one's denying that. But
That you know,
it's the idea that like, oh, he had no flaws. Like, no, they left out some of the flaws. That's
you,
all I'm
you
saying.
You do know that everybody poops and everybody pees.
I've heard that on our fair airways.
Mr. Ruder has heard that.
He's told us that quite a bit, many times. All right. When we come back, Spygate is apparently back. I'll explain next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Well, your roads are looking pretty fantastic on this Friday. On the northwest side of Columbus from Plain City to Dublin, no issues on 33 as you're approaching that 270 intersection. As for our friends taking that northbound commute, drive times are also looking great between 670 to 270 if you're taking 71 north. That's about an 8-minute commute, a 9-minute commute if you're taking 315. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
The Fan is headed to the Memorial. Are you ready for 30 hours of live coverage? Oh, it's true, baby.
Sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling. Thewaterworks.com.
The best Memorial coverage. The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Just a reminder, Tyvus thinks all pizza tastes the same. Also a reminder, Tyvus was born without taste buds. You're listening to Bone and Tyvus.
All the NFL schedules are out. We talked a little bit about the Bengals schedule earlier on in the show. We will talk about it more throughout the day. But if you ever miss any part of the show, you don't get to hear all of it, you get out of your car maybe just after this segment, maybe at 7, you would miss out on... We got some priceless audio coming up at 7 a.m. with an ESPN host talking about how people might be sitting out the OSU-Michigan game, but maybe you're going to miss that. Well, don't worry. We got the podcast for you. Wherever you get podcasts, just search T-Bone and Tyvus on your favorite podcast app. It is brought to you by Capital Ford of Columbus. But you can get the T-Bone and Tyvus podcast on your favorite device free of charge. Just go there, like, subscribe, add it, whatever your app does, and you'll get it every single day.
BBL Drizzy.
Is that... Yes, that's what I was thinking too. By the way, I heard the Iceman song from Drake.
There's not. I don't know if it's an actual song.
There is a song called Iceman.
Oh, really?
Somebody said XXL Magazine tweeted this out and said Drake taps into West Coast sound on new song. Oh, new song on Iceman. It doesn't actually say. Maybe it isn't called that. But whatever. It's more of him rehashing all the Kendrick stuff, and I just feel like is that going to just be your thing now forever? You're just going to be that guy?
The only thing I hate about it is that he waved the white flag when he dropped the Heartbreaks, the Heart Part 6. Drake did. That was like the final diss of it, and like that was the last response to anything. And to me, I felt like if it was so much more in there, you should have just let it all out right there.
Oh, it took him a long time.
Because Kendrick said he had like 10 ready to go. Mm. And they should have just let it all out so we can move on. And I'm like, we still talking about something that happened a year or two ago.
I don't understand that.
Drake's ghostwriters need a time to respond, Tyvus.
Oh my goodness.
I'm glad
that he was able to release this. I'm hoping this is the end of it all and we can go back to just good positive vibe music.
Speaking of positive vibe music, did you hear about what happened? Did you hear what was played last night? Sonic Temple.
I'm Real by Ja Rule,
that was in my car.
That was in your car, yeah.
It was actually in my girlfriend's car when she I drove the car, but she took me to dinner at Jersey Mike's.
That's nice. I like it. Jersey Mike's is great. Why don't I ever get taken to dinner by my wife to Jersey Mike's? That's my question. I gotta ask her. But what was the song you guys were listening to, and your girlfriend did not know that there was an unedited part of it?
I'm Real by J-Lo featuring Ja Rule. Sure. It came on, and I was like, what is this? This is the radio edit version. And she said, I've never heard a different version of this song in my life.
Oh, no. Mm. Oh, no. Yeah, see, that's a problem. Yes. That song's not new.
Not meant when you have Ja Rule just... rapping, and then all of a sudden you just hear
I can't with that. You know what,
I had
a buddy growing up though, because you know, obviously grew up very religious, and a lot of my friends would listen to secular music, but they would listen to the edited parts. That was their way around it. It's like, well, yeah, I'm listening to the non-Christian music, but then I'm not listening to any swearing or any vile language or whatever. And I had a buddy who actually told me when he kind of got out of the church and he went back to listen just to like the real songs with all the lyrics in them. He said, I actually missed the clips. I missed where they would clip out all the, and I'm like, he's like, that's what I got used to. That's what I grew up with, was the part where they're just like, I don't want that, but he apparently, he couldn't take the real version of it.
I haven't listened to an edited song in a long time. I'm going to have to go find the song and listen to the edit.
Well, it's rough. When you pick up an Eminem album and it has no parental advisory on it, you're like, oh, we know what we're getting here. It's going to sound like when it was a CD, sounded like the CD was skipping because it just constantly like stopped playing halfway through because they're editing every other word.
There are two clean hits off the top of my head that I can think of that a lot of people I feel like don't know that there's like a quote unquote dirty version.
Mm.
It's I Want to Love You by Akon and Snoop Dogg.
Okay.
They should have left it like that.
But there's a naughty version.
Oh yeah.
And then
take that L and put it in as an F.
Yes. And then there's Let's Get It Started by the Black Eyed Peas.
Because there's a word now that we can't use.
Big R.
Yeah, we cannot say the R word in today's society.
That's exactly right. So there's a Spygate. Do you guys miss Spygate back in the day?
The cheating that's going on?
Yeah.
Ain't that what Belichick? Isn't that essentially what the Wolverines did?
Yeah, I feel like they did. Well, there's another one, but this one is in British soccer. So let me explain how British soccer works, Tyvus, if you're not familiar. You know, they have promotion and relegation. You know what that is?
No.
Okay. So you have the Premier League, top division, mm-hmm. first division, the mm-hmm. best, Manchester United. They're up there.
Got you.
Arsenal.
I'm following you.
Second division. Now we're getting to the smaller teams.
MLS.
No. This is still in England.
Oh, okay.
And then there's the third division.
Chelsea's
in the first division. But they're in the first division. Their fans would not have, they wouldn't like it if you said that. Like, oh, are they a second division team? But like, okay, so there's teams. So every year, three teams from the Premier League get relegated down to the second division.
Yeah,
so
I think I remember you telling me something about this.
And so concurrently,
it was one of the teams that got promoted
last year.
Yes,
and they stayed up, baby.
Yes, I remember you talking about that.
We're all about that. Yeah. So this team, what's happening in the second division is this is the promotion. Okay, so there's teams that go up to the Premier League, teams that come down from Premier League to the second division. And you can go all the way down, third division, fourth division. There's like seven divisions of this. Imagine that. Like in high school sports, imagine if like you were a Division I football powerhouse and then 10 years later, you're like in the sixth division. Like that.
Well, I thought that went off of male enrollment.
It does. But I'm saying, imagine if it was based on performance, where if like you lost enough games, you could just fall out.
A lot of people that get demoted every year.
Well, that's what happens in soccer. Okay, so... In this, there is a playoff for the final spot to go up to the Premier League. This is a huge game.
Okay. Who is it?
Well, one of the teams is Hull. Hull City is in this playoff. The other team is supposed to be Southampton.
Okay.
Southampton beat Middlesbrough for the final playoff spot into this championship game. Whoever wins this game goes to the Premier League. And I don't know if you know this.
It's a big bump in pay.
The Premier, they're saying it's worth $100 million.
When you go up to the Premier League, dollars, I'm going to die about it for $100 million.
Because they get TV money, they get jersey sales, more ticket sales, all this stuff. Imagine jumping up from like, you know, AAA baseball up to the major leagues. And now you get that TV contract. And then the Premier League is global. So like they show those games in every country around the world. So like the money is insane if you get up there. Well, Southampton beat Middlesbrough in their game that gets them to this final to determine who gets to go. Well, now it's been found out after the game, it was found that Southampton sent spies to Middlesbrough's training grounds, their practice facility. They were in the bushes, literally hiding in the bushes with video cameras and with microphones.
Dang.
They got audio of the coach. They heard what they were strategizing. They saw the practice, all of that. Middlesbrough found out about it, reported it to the English Football League. They now have said everything is on the table. This game that they're supposed to play is coming up on March 23rd. So we've got about
March 23rd
or May 23rd. Why did I say March?
That's my sister's birthday.
May 23rd. So that would be next Saturday. This game is now. They're saying they may pull the team that won, Southampton, out of the game because they cheated so egregiously. and then put Middlesbrough in the game.
I mean, it is.
Even though they lost.
It is $100 million.
That's what I'm saying, right?
I get it, but like, come on.
They said Middlesbrough, because their season's over.
How did they get caught? Like,
they didn't say how they got caught, but apparently Middlesbrough found out about it and reported it. Now the Middlesbrough players have been told, don't leave. Don't go home for your offseason. Come back to the facility. We're going to keep training because there's a chance we may have to play this game. So, and then, of course, if they win it, they go to the Premier League. They go from being out to being up in the Premier League.
There's a chance that Southampton still plays in the game?
There's a chance Southampton, the cheating team, still gets to play, and maybe they just get fined. But there is a chance that Middlesbrough, the team that got spied on, actually replaces them in the game.
I don't know about that.
It's unprecedented, they said. In English soccer, they've never had a situation like this. They've never had a spy gate. They've never had anything like this. But
maybe, I mean, $100 million. Could you imagine
as a former player, like, you think you're done, your season's over, and they're like, never mind, you might actually be in the NFL playoffs, so get back and, like, come back and work out and go practice like you're playing next week.
Cancel your trip to Cancun. Whew. The wife is going to be upset.
Galveston. Yeah. that dirty water. Right? Yeah. All right. Would Ohio State ever rest their starters for the Michigan game? We'll discuss it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Still no incidents to report out there, but a big heads up if you're planning to travel to the east side this weekend. We will be seeing pavement repairs happening on 670 eastbound, heading outside of downtown towards places like the airport, starting from 5th Avenue to that 270 and 670 split. You'll be down to just two lanes available for you out there starting tonight, 7 p.m., ending Monday morning at 5. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
outcome.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cincinnati Reds got back in the win column in a big way last night, beating the Washington Nationals 15-1. Chase Burns threw six scoreless innings, and J.J. Bleday hit two home runs in the victory. The Redlegs will make the trip up I-71 and start the battle for the Ohio Cup tonight in Cleveland. First pitch versus the Guardians is set for 7:10. There will be a couple of Game 6s in the association tonight. First, the Cleveland Cavaliers will try to close out the Detroit Pistons at home with tip-off at 7 o'clock. Following that game, the San Antonio Spurs will try to end their series versus the Minnesota Timberwolves on the road in Minneapolis. And there are seven players tied for the lead heading into the second round at the PGA Championship, including world number one Scottie Scheffler. This update is sponsored by Germain Toyota for unbeatable service and sales. Visit Germain Toyota on the corner of I-70 and Bryce Road or online at germaintoyota.net. Breaking sports news right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Sometimes when Tyvus wears khaki pants, I can see the outline of his genitals. There's no joke there. It's just an observation.
God, the more I resist, the more intriguing they become. I can't look away.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
He's telling Tyvus about the finer points of promotion and relegation in soccer. You brought up, Tyvus, that I had told you last year about my team, Sunderland.
Yep,
I remember. They're the English soccer team that I root for. Sunderland went down from the Premier League. They went to the second division, and then they went down to the third division for a few years, stayed down there, eventually got back up to the second division, and last year got promoted to the Premier League. But here's what's crazy about how that system works. They didn't play their rival, Newcastle, for years in, like, the regular season. They had other little tournaments where they might have run into them, but, like, they didn't play their rivalry game for multiple years.
That's unfortunate.
Could you imagine rooting for, again, like, obviously a lot of us are Ohio State fans around here. Could you imagine, and this will never happen, but imagine your fandom exists like this. You root for the Ohio State Buckeyes. They play in the Big Ten. Their rival is Michigan. And then one year they have a bad year, the Luke Fickell year, where, you know, Joe Bowserman's your quarterback.
We don't talk about Bruno.
Look at you. Yeah, that's good. I like that. We don't talk about Bruno. That's right. Anyway, imagine that year.
You can because tell of I have that, kids.
Yeah, yeah. That's what's that Disney? What is that movie? Encanto.
Encanto.
Yeah. It's great. I love Encanto. Anyway, imagine going from that. You play Michigan. You're in the hunt for the national championship. All that stuff. To now. You're dropped down to the MAC. Now, you could still, I guess, in the MAC, you could win the national championship theoretically. But, like, the point being, in their league, you go down from playing, like, you know, Michigan State and Illinois and Indiana and whoever you, Penn State, whoever you think of in the Big Ten, all those schools not on your schedule. Now you're playing the schools like Akron and, no offense, Kent State. You know,
we're playing them this year.
Central Michigan. Well, right. But that's your, but there's no, like, we're looking forward to Michigan game. That's just off your schedule. It doesn't exist. That's what the English soccer fans go through when their teams get relegated.
Devastating.
And for the other team, like Newcastle, they were up in their Premier League, and they're like, I mean, they had the ultimate joy because they're like, we don't even have to play these guys. We don't, they can't beat us this year because they're so bad, they're down in another division. So, yeah, the rivalries, of course, they're run pretty strong, as you would imagine, and that is something that, you know, clearly is a, you know, a pretty big deal there. If you get relegated, that is a massive thing. So, speaking of rivalries, Ohio State-Michigan. This is Mike Greenberg from ESPN. He was talking about the 24-team playoff and why it's bad. Some obviously would point out with Mike Greenberg, he works for ESPN. ESPN, presumably, it's believed, does not want to go to a 24-team playoff. They want to stay at 16 or even go down to, or keep it at 12 or maybe go to 16 at worst.
Take it to 8.
I'm with you. I think most rational people are there, too, as college football fans. But here is what Mike Greenberg said about the problem with going to 24.
I will say this. I don't know what ESPN does and doesn't want. But what I can tell you with certainty is that the idea that good teams, championship-worthy teams, get left out of the playoff is a good thing, not a bad thing. If you put every single team that might win the championship into the playoff, you might just as well not play the regular season to begin with. If we live in a world where Ohio State and Michigan rest their starters for that game at the end of the season because they've got the potential of 5 playoff games still sitting in front of them, then college football as we have known it ceases to exist. So I don't have a vote in any of this. Obviously, other people do, and they'll make the decisions they make based on a lot of reasons that candidly have nothing to do with what's in the best interest of the game itself.
Well, he's not wrong on that aspect of it, but
there is no world where any coach from either one of these teams would sit day starters in that game. If that's the case, you can't be the coach. Like,
oh, I was going
to
say,
there's no way that you, they can't even hire you to be the coach.
Fire anyone who would ever rest any players for the OSU-Michigan game because we have playoff games to win.
That one matters. It matters too much.
Get out of here. Now, I don't blame Greeny because obviously he's not, you know, dyed in the wool in this rivalry. He doesn't understand it like that. His bigger point, though, that 2014 playoff is going to, by necessity, devalue the regular season is spot on. And I don't think I'm being hyperbolous when I say this. I have felt this way when I saw this 2014 playoff being kicked around. I mean, we all laughed at it when it came out that the Big Ten was like, yeah, 2014 playoff. We're all like, what are you talking about? 2014? Who wants that? Now you find out the ACC is saying they are good with it, everybody, and you've got all these coaches saying they want it.
Money.
You got, yes, everyone's starting to align around this other than the SEC.
Which is funny because they also need that action, too.
They need that money, too. Right. I'm just saying, if it does get to a point where they go to a 2014 playoff, I don't think I'm being over the top here. I think that will be one of the biggest changes that's ever happened to any sports league in American history.
I told you, it's literally, you can't, the more you add to the end of the season, the more it takes away from the beginning. And absolutely, that's just what it is.
And
like, to be, like, you'll see, to me personally, like, you'll see the same handful of teams, and then you'll realize, like, it's only like 5 teams every year that actually realistically can win it. Like, I don't know.
Like,
why
every year we kind of know that, yeah, and think so that.
Like, I get it. People, like, we say people will hate it and people won't tune in. They'll definitely watch it because it's be nothing else to watch. You want to watch sports. If you're a fan of football, you're going to watch football no matter what, you know? So I think that that will be the case, but I just think it'll be some very one-sided games in those early on rounds. Like, if you're going 1 versus 24, it's like,
yeah, right.
It's crazy. You should be,
well, they're not going to do 1 versus 24. They're going to have, like, because
the first 8 teams will have buys,
they'll have a buy,
and then, you know what, 9 versus 24.
Yeah, it'll be,
no,
the
but
same,
to your point,
to your could, point, yeah, same
if
thing.
If 24 pulls an upset, then it could be 1 versus 24, you know, right? What I mean, like, that could theoretically happen, but
I mean, college football is just going to be different, and I'm not one of those people that always think different is worse, but in this case, different will be worse, because to me, what's in the fabric of what college football is, like, I mean, not to tear open old wounds, but the fact, like, oh, what the hell, Ohio State won on the road in West Lafayette and got the doors beaten off them by Purdue.
they're probably not a national championship contender anymore.
That won't even matter now.
They lost to Iowa. Who cares? Oh, man, that's a real consequential loss. Not anymore. And the people that are for this are saying, like, oh, we're going to have more meaningful games. No, you're moving where the meaningful games are. You're Absolutely. Just moving them to the end of the season, and you're devaluing the regular season of college football, which is what has made college football great since the beginning of college football.
That's a problem now. We ain't even at 24.
It's, right, yeah.
When I played, if you lost one game, it was like, right. Oh, well, season's over.
And then the people that are like, oh, yeah, well, like, when we expanded, we were able to get Miami in the playoff, and look what they did. They almost won the national championship. And like Greeny said, I don't need every team that's good enough to win the national championship to be in the playoff. Part of what college football should be is you woke up every Saturday and you played to the best of your ability. You didn't lose to SMU or Louisville when you shouldn't have, like Miami did.
No,
that should be a penalty where you don't get to compete for the national championship because there were two Saturdays where you decided not to get up and play. You shouldn't get to have a mulligan on games like that. That's not what college football is.
Well, I will add that for me, it's not just moving the meaningful games to the end of the season. It's now changing which games are meaningful, because like Ohio State and Michigan should have a ton of meaning on it, but so should Ohio State and Texas this year, right? That Ohio State Texas game, if there's a 2014 playoff, is utterly meaningless other than just for pride. And so what you're now going to do is you're going to take the games of the fringe teams. Like, who would be down? I heard, I was listening to Bishop and Friends yesterday, and they were talking about how like some of the matchups that you would have had in the playoffs would have been like Iowa and Miami would have been one of the matchups based on where everybody was ranked last year. And they said, ugh, gross game. And I'm like, yeah, gross game in the playoffs. Not a gross game for me as a college football fan who loves college football. If it's a regular season game, I'd be interested in that, because for both of those teams, if one of them loses that, that probably means they're not going to be as close to having a chance at the playoffs. Now what you're going to do is take even those type of regular season matchups that could be interesting or fun. Now you're going to take those and move it down the scale to like, ooh, I don't know, this 6-5 team has one game left and they're playing a 6-5 team. Could that be like, we're going to move the meter so far down that it's going to be Purdue and Northwestern for that final spot in the playoffs. I don't want to care about Purdue and Northwestern. If both of them have four losses, I don't care. I shouldn't have to care about the dregs of college football for playoff purposes. I like those games on their own, right? I like to watch weird college football games. I like to watch West Coast games at 11 o'clock at night that have no bearing on the playoffs. That's fine. But when it comes to the actual playoff games, I want them to be no doubt bangers. And instead, it feels like we were talking about that Drake album where he's going to put not one, but he's putting three albums out. This is what it feels like the playoffs are. It's like, we don't know what's good. So here's all the teams. Good luck. Find three or four good games out of all this. I feel like that's how Drake's doing his songs. It's like, find three or four good songs out of these 25, 30 songs I'm going to release. That's what we're doing now with the playoffs, and it's stupid.
All right, we got to go to break.
Well, we may never end this segment because I'm just so pissed.
I got one thing
this.
To say on it.
All right, when we come back, more college football discussion next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Friday. Just noticing a crash over on the west side right now. It's over just north of West Jefferson, 70 eastbound. Oh, yeah, as you're heading downtown passing 142, that right shoulder is currently blocked out there. It does involve a semi. Thankfully, first responders are on scene. Not really causing any traffic. So far, so good. But again, 70 eastbound. If you're passing this area on the west side, go slow and take it easy. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll have a good deal of sunshine for the morning hours and a few more clouds build in toward midday into the afternoon. It'll be a pleasant one, though, with highs around 71 today. Clouds increase coming up tonight. Lows are back to 56 for a low. For tomorrow, variable cloudiness. We'll have some scattered showers and thunderstorms around the area. Looks like the best chance is going to be in the morning, then a break, then some additional redevelopment later in the afternoon and evening. Warmer and more humid, highs around 80. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
Tyvis Powell helped the Buckeyes win a national championship. T-Bone watched Tyvis Powell help the Buckeyes win a national championship. Equally important, you're listening to T-Bone and Tyvis.
Game show coming up 30 minutes from now. Your chance to win fabulous prizes. Also, Window Nation, my guys, they're helping you out with a great deal on windows. If you need to fix your windows, if you have had just those builder grade windows that maybe came with the house, maybe you moved into an older house and those windows are not getting the job done, your air conditioning is going to run a lot this summer. If you don't have energy efficient windows, you can help that out by getting new windows from Window Nation. They're the best in the business. Plus, you can get them with a great deal. Buy four windows, get four free sale. That's going on right now from Window Nation. You could replace all the windows in your house and get half of them for free. Plus, you could get zero down payment and no payments or interest for 2 years from Window Nation. They, of course, are the best in the business for a reason. All of their windows offered a lifetime warranty for all these windows, so you can relax knowing your home is getting protected far into the future. I trust Window Nation. You should, too. And you can find out more right now. Get your fast free consultation at WindowNation.com. Once again, buy four windows, get four windows free. That's what's going on. WindowNation.com. Fast free consultation at WindowNation.com.
So the one thing that I do like, because there's been a lot of changes to college football. The one thing that I didn't think I would like that I actually start to enjoy is the Friday football.
Okay.
Because obviously that was saved for high school. But, you know, like now the Big Ten usually has a game on Friday nights.
I don't worry about that. Like if I'm going to a high school football game, I live in Marysville. My daughter cheers. Like, if we're going, we're going. And if there's a big game on, I'll watch it when I get home, or I'll watch it on my phone while I'm there. Well, but I'm like, I don't think that should detract from going to high school football games. You just pick what you like. But if you live in a town, you go support that team, that's fine.
I still
fine.
Don't know how I would feel if it was Ohio State on a Friday night. But okay.
Then I like if my kids playing participating in it, or my kids want to go, I'm going to the high school football game and I'll watch the Buckeyes. I'll keep up with it. I'll listen on the Fan app. But I'm saying, like, we live in a world now where you can time shift watching the stuff you want to watch. Right. I also sometimes on Saturdays in the fall, no one cares about this when they play noon games. I have to watch my kids' soccer games sometimes are happening at the same time as that. Parents of, like, I'm just saying, this notion that we have to protect high school football when, like, every other sport doesn't get protected. Why should I care about high school football? Like, you like high school football, go support it. You want to watch the Buckeyes, stay home and watch the Buckeyes. But I'm not worried about that. I don't know why people get so worked up about that. Go take your phone with you and watch the game there, or listen to it on the Fan app if you really have to. Sorry to derail that. I get so pissed off when people are like, oh, high school football though. Yeah. The high school basketball plays the same time as college basketball. What are we talking about? We live in a world where things happen at the same time. Stop acting like this stuff is so sacrosanct. Right. It's not.
Well, some people are spoiled, is what it is.
If
a kid is playing, they want to make sure that they're watching their kid, but
watch your kid play.
Worship the Buckeye.
Take your phone with you and be a good parent. What am I missing here?
It's the same, and you know that.
I know that as a parent, though, who, like, if you're a lacrosse parent and you like to watch the Reds, like, I'm just saying, you're probably at a lacrosse tournament and the Reds are playing. You miss the game, or you watch it on your phone, or you try to do both. Like, why is it only high school and college football specifically get that carve out, but no other sports we care about on that? We shouldn't. I'm saying we should acknowledge that people have different things. Anyway, sorry, Tyvis, I derailed your point. My bad. That's a little sore spot for me as a dad who doesn't have guys who play high school football, but I got to miss all these games because I got to drag kids to dance recitals and soccer performances and swimming things. Now I can't watch the Buckeyes. I'm supposed to just deal with it. But the poor high school football people cannot watch two games at the same time. Oh, cry me a river. Go ahead. Back to you.
Anyways, I'm glad you... Do you feel better?
No, I never feel better.
Usually when you let it out, it makes you feel a lot better.
It never helps.
Have we had this problem, though, here? And is it on, like, the docket?
Dylan's not going to let you do anything. No, I think we had it once, and it's fine. Who cares? Anyway.
Like, the only time I remember Ohio State not playing on a Saturday was when they played Minnesota. Was that on a Friday or was that on a Thursday?
They played Indiana, I feel like, on a Thursday, or maybe it was a Thursday. I know they opened. I feel like they opened the season on a Thursday night.
Isn't it like against the law for them to do that?
Yes.
I feel
like it's an Ohio thing. The feds will come down and bust you.
No, I'm saying I feel like it's an Ohio thing.
There used to be a carve out for it, but I think Ohio State tries to avoid it, and as they should. Ohio State, Michigan, the bigger programs try to say, No, if we don't have to, we'd rather play on Saturdays when college football is traditionally played. I'm all about that. I'm just saying we also know that we live in a world where they move this stuff around and it happens. So I'm just saying we can deal with it once a year if that happens. It's not the biggest. It's not the end of the world. That's all I'm saying.
Private schools in New Jersey, they play high school games on Saturdays.
So JV games are on Saturdays, too. So if your kid sucks.
Come on now. Come on now.
They are.
Come on now.
No, but see, this is my point.
I know they are. Trust me, I know. But come on now.
Like, I'm just saying we only care about.
They're early in the morning.
I'm just saying. Ryan Day's kid plays on Friday night all the time, and Ryan Day has to game play in four games. Is that fair to him? Probably not, but he's paid $10 million a year to coach a football team. He deals with it. I'm saying we all have to make sacrifices. That's my point. Go ahead. What was your initial point?
The point of it all was... I'm glad that I actually can remember the point because we went so far down the road that I forget what it was about. But the point of it was when they first announced that there would be Friday football, I hated it. Mm. But like now that I've given it a chance, I actually thoroughly enjoy it. So I say all that to say maybe right now if the 24 thing sounds terrible, but like when we actually live it, because when it went from 4 to 12, I was like, this is going to be terrible. But like I still watch it and I enjoy it.
Tyvus, they could go to 96 teams and I would watch because it's college football. I love college football. It's my favorite. It's that and basketball are my two favorite sports. But I mean, I prefer college football to the NFL. I grew up here. My NFL team was not a thing for me growing up. My NFL team was Ohio State. So, like, I understand if people come from different places and don't get that. But for me as a lifelong Columbus resident, this has always been my number one thing. I will watch the Buckeyes if they play on Neptune in June. Like, I will watch the games. But that, whether we will watch the games or not, is different than if we should have to endure something that is now going to basically completely change the way college football has been viewed. That's why I said I think it's the biggest change one of the biggest changes we've ever seen in North American sports, pro or college. If they go to 24 teams, the best thing about college football to me is that the regular season matters. Baseball's regular season is largely irrelevant. You play 162 games. You can't tell me every one of those games is as important as the next one. They just aren't. NBA, NHL both play 82. Their regular seasons are not as relevant. Even in the NFL, where you only play 17, the regular season still got more impact. But you know you can have a three-game losing streak in the NFL and still make the playoffs and go on a run. You could never have, until now, you could never have a three-game losing streak in college football and go make the playoffs.
I don't want
or have a chance to win a national championship.
I just now don't you probably want would. College football to turn into the NBA. That's my biggest thing with all of these sports when you do things like this is that if you start to diminish the regular season, like ain't nobody going to pay attention to the playoff start.
No.
Like, why do I need to watch that? Like, well, I will because it's part of my job. But like, why do I need to do that? Like, it's all irrelevant because everybody's going to make the playoffs. There's the top 25 and 24 out of 25 is going to make the playoffs. So like, why do I need to watch it?
To your point, if your optimistic take on this is, well, 24 teams, though, now everyone will make the playoffs. So that means there will be more Ohio State Bama games, not fewer. Are you out of your mind?
It's fewer because
they're already talking about.
I was listening to Paul Feinbaum yesterday talk about he's interested to see if they. I know they agreed to play the game, but he was like, if Kalen DeBoer goes 8-4 and they fire him and bring a new coach in, they're gonna be like, change that game. Take that game off the schedule.
Well, that's fair too. I guess what I'm saying though is like with a 2014 playoff, the argument then's going to be, well, we can't risk all these guys getting hurt in these big tough football games. We can't do that in the regular season. There's literally conversation. Greeny was talking about the other day about how Ohio State and Michigan, maybe someone will rest the starters in that game.
They better not.
I said I would fire any coach that would do that.
They better not.
And I don't think there's any chance that any coach that would coach at Ohio State or Michigan would ever think that that's right. You should never do that. If they do, they should be fired. But beyond that, there will be coaches who for sure will try to manage their rosters in other games. You're going to have more of those games, not fewer, that are irrelevant. Coaches are going to be hoping that they get games where, oh, like last year, what did Ohio State do with Carnell Tate? They didn't rest him in the Michigan game. He played awesome in that game.
Imagine.
They did rest him in the couple games before that, though, because they knew what they had coming up. More of that will happen for sure.
It just doesn't seem right. Imagine getting a kid, making him grow the hate for the Wolverines and then telling him, hey, hey, we're going to rest you this game because we need you for the playoffs.
We're going to put and in gonna be like, some of the backups. Yeah.
It's just totally, it will be a different vibe. And I don't think fans is ready for that.
No, I don't think so either. Sorry if I offended you if you're a high school football fan and you're like mad that sometimes they play games on Fridays. But as someone who's watched my kids play all other sports, like, I'm not sorry. I actually, you know what? I take it back. I'm sorry for absolutely nothing, as Conor McGregor once said. That's all I
do. I don't give a bollocks.
Bollocks. I like it. I don't know that a team in the portal era of college football has ever found a better player for their system than the guy we're going to talk about in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Looking at a big scene right now over on the north side of Columbus, really outside of Powell and right by the zoo. We do have a crash on State Route 256, and both directions are closed right now from that. We're talking from Heathrow Drive to East Glick Road. Again, all lanes closed out there. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan
543. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Tyvus has a bum wrist from playing football. Bone has a bum wrist from opening the heavy doors at Sheetz. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
I've had a few people in the YouTube chat saying, you got to protect Friday nights. Friday night football is sacred because kids are the future of the sport. If the kids don't watch their football team, their college football team play because they're playing on Friday night, how will we ever grow the sport? And my answer to that is like, then I guess JV football players don't watch college football, right? Like, if you play JV football on Saturdays, the Buckeyes are playing on Saturdays, you must hate football now, right? Because you didn't get to watch your team.
The JV game is early. I told you that.
Oh, so are Buckeye games. They're always at noon. The biggest games are at noon.
No, the JV game, I feel like, is before noon.
What are we talking about?
I feel like they kick it off at like 9, 10 o'clock.
Okay, so you can't make it to the Ohio State game. You can't.
No, you ain't going.
Well, that's it. Yeah,
we're cool. You had no JV.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying the argument was the kids won't be able to grow up and root for their team because they won't get the experience of going to Buckeye games. It's like, yeah, if your kid plays JV football, that's played usually Saturday mornings. You're not getting Ohio State games if your kid's on that. That's all I'm saying. But somehow those kids still find a way to watch football.
One of two things going to happen. Either he got to get to varsity or he got to let the dream die. One of the two.
God forbid your kid plays literally. I'm just saying sometimes people are so myopic on football specifically where it's like, oh, I don't know how this will work. It's like, what if your kid plays soccer? But he also likes other sports too. He watches football, baseball, basketball. Their games happen when those games happen. And yet somehow we can still all learn to watch the game. I'm just saying, I think the protection of Friday nights is a little silly, in my opinion, in this day. Because it's not like they're putting every Big Ten game and every football game on Friday nights. They're saying one or two a week are going to be on Friday nights. So once or twice a year, you might have to decide between watching your favorite team in college and your local high school team. And that's not a big deal for me. As someone, as a parent who's missed countless sporting events I want to watch because my kids are in activities, you deal with it. Your kids, they find a way to watch. It's not the end of the world. I think that's silly.
What you got to do is record it. Record the game on TV.
Uh-huh.
Cut off social media.
Uh-huh.
And go back and watch it. That's how you got
to
do it.
Are you telling me you got to go to your kid's football game and actually like watch them play and root them on and just live in the moment and be a good parent and watch them play? And then when you get home, or like you can go to bed, you can get up the next morning and then flip the game on and watch it. Well, it's not the same. I know it's not, but you're acting
it can be if you ignore social media.
But if you have to be on your phone, that's a you problem. That's I don't agree with that argument.
But you know that I prefer to watch games from the all 22 angle.
I would too if I had access to it.
I'm sure you do, because
you're a former player.
I like to see the whole thing. Like I like to see. Okay, boom, boom, boom. It makes me think I'm playing again.
I think that would be awesome. I wish there was a channel that was just on the cable system, whatever you have, just said all 22, and it's just college,
pro. No, Amazon do that.
Well, I'm sure they do if you pay the money, and there's like one game a week they put it on.
I don't think you got to pay. Well, I mean,
I'm saying you have to pay to have Prime Video. Correct. You don't get it for free.
But I think it's I might be wrong on this one, but I feel like they got the All 22 angle.
If there is something out there that says every NFL game, All 22 footage, and it's on Prime Video, sign me up for that. I didn't know that.
No, it's just for the Thursday night.
Well, game. That's my point. I'm saying I wish you could go watch any game like that. Because
You can't do it live, but the NFL, if you got the app, you can watch. I think you got to wait 24 hours after the game. And okay. They give you the All 22.
Yeah, but you have to pay for that
subscription, which
yeah, that's my
like
point,
$12 a month or something.
You have to
like
pay
that.
For all that. I'm just saying, I wish there was a channel that was like, you know how NFL Network reruns games from like previously? I wish they would just occasionally run All 22 games. Just put those out there. All right. So here's a team that had found the perfect fit in the portal, and it is Georgia. Georgia's safety, Jamarly Riddle, was arrested on May 8th on a pair of felony charges for possession of a controlled substance and a misdemeanor speeding charge. That's what Georgia football does. That is culture right there. When you get someone who's just, this guy transferred in from, I believe, East Carolina.
I want to know.
He's barely been on campus. He was caught going, according to the police report, police officer said they were driving faster than 95 miles an hour in pursuit of him, and he was gapping them. So they had to catch up to him at speeds over 95 miles an hour.
I want to know, this is the question. At Georgia, they're known for speeding and getting these tickets and driving fast.
Yes.
Is there a specific dealership that's just continuously knowing that the players is going to do this? You know what? Come on. We got the new Challenger, the new Camaro. Like, they still just going to give them the car?
I don't know if that's a good advertisement or not. Because, like, yeah.
They need to be driving Priuses and whatnot. Right. Like, this is ridiculous.
You need a Jalopy USA to be, like, the car dealership out there giving you, like, I don't know.
I'm surprised Kirby ain't been like, hey, man, listen, y'all gotta cut this out. We can't keep giving them these fast cars.
Well, according to the police incident report, Riddle, the safety for Georgia, was pulled over for speeding, and then they noticed that he was very nervous, which is totally normal. But then they said that they smelled marijuana coming from inside the car.
You smell like bag.
Apparently, officers pulled a large heat-sealed bag from one of the backpacks in the back seat and found a large amount of multicolored packaging, some with a leafy substance stating marijuana on the packaging. So
he apparently, is that legal in Georgia?
I don't know, but apparently he got arrested for possession of a controlled substance. So apparently whatever he had was not something you're allowed to have. This is all alleged, by the way. He'll get his day in court, as he should. But like, if he was speeding at that rate, what?
No, it's illegal in the state of Georgia.
There you go. Okay. Apparently, this is just a thing that Georgia now, when they go to identify players, they're like, all right, this guy can tackle. We like the film. Do we have anything of him on, like, Grand Theft Auto? What does he do when it comes to driving? Like, what's his driving style like? Oh, let's put him on the sim and see how. Let's get a NASCAR game in here on the sim and see how he drives. Oh, man, he set the track record? He's part of Georgia culture now. We got to bring him in. By the way, did you see my guy? Can't wait to see him in the NFL. Drew Aller. Steelers are already saying, this is a quote from the Steelers about former Penn State quarterback Drew Aller, who they drafted in the third round. They said they have to, quote, uninstall everything he learned in college.
Yeah.
Uninstall everything he learned in college.
Yeah.
This is a quarterback that I know they spent a third round pick on. That's a guy who should eventually become a starter for you, I would think.
This is terrible. That's terrible news for Penn State and James Franklin at Virginia Tech, or whoever the OC was, whoever it was.
I think it was Andy Kotelnicki was the OC there.
Wherever he
is,
this was terrible for him to see this.
Especially
if they do this. And Drew Aller actually looks 10 times better than he ever did at Penn State.
Oh, yeah.
He might as well just go ahead and just turn his papers in. It's done.
I got another high school hot take for you on that. Mm. Ready for it? If that happens, where they take Drew Aller, who has all the size, all the measurables, everything you want, arm strength, all that. But when he was in college, he could never put it together and never looked anything like the quarterback he was projected to be. If he goes to the NFL and they uninstall all his college stuff, and then over the course of the next 18 months, he becomes a viable starter in the NFL, I'll give you a hot take. Go ahead and institute the draft right from high school. Who needs college? Because NFL teams would say, well, why are we letting these guys go get developed poorly At some colleges, not Ohio State, obviously, but at some schools, they don't know what the hell they're doing. We got to break him down to get him to even play right. Where you could just, he's already was that big when he came out of high school. But he was already 6'5" and 230, whatever he was.
You will get these kids killed. You got to get your body developed.
You don't start him. I'm saying, imagine if he spent 3 years with an NFL team not learning bad habits.
Well, the problem is,
and learning good habits.
They don't lift like that in the league. Well, like, the team lift is nowhere near a college lift team. It's very laid back.
Give me an example of what's
very
different.
Well, they got it. Well, they outlawed it now, but like the leg press machine with the wall sits, we ain't doing that in the
league. When you were at the Woody.
Yeah, they were crazy over there. They're very sane now, but they were crazy back when I was there.
Because they got to build your body up when you get to college.
When you get older and mature, you know, you start to calm down, and I think Coach Mika started to calm down, but they was crazy. Crazy over there. When I got to the NFL, they like, it was like a high school lift to me. It was like, oh yeah, just come in here, do this, that. You ain't got to worry about putting all that weight on. Because
they trusted you. They were like, we know that you know how to take care of yourself.
Right.
Yeah, you're a grown man.
But like, also, I'm coming from Ohio State where we lift like maniacs over there.
So you already had it. Yeah.
So in my mind, I'm thinking I got to lift even more like that. And it's like, nah, you tripping. We don't do that. No, you got to do that. So yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. That's
Tom Brady does Pilates.
I'm just saying, if they can fix Drew Aller and it was all like he's just. He was broken inevitably by going to college and playing, then you will see NFL teams say, maybe we shouldn't do that.
Bryce Underwood would be the next guy that they'll have to uninstall.
He's rooting for Drew Aller, isn't he? Like he's only... No matter what his college career, if Drew Aller can be saved, there's hope. There's hope. All right, game show's next. We're going to need someone to help us play it. If you'd like to win Dylan's breakfast, you can call us, 614-821-9710. We'll take one player in that. Coming up next, T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center. Well, you may be encountering some slowdowns if you live over in Marysville. That's because we are seeing a crash near US 33. It's happening on State Route 31, though. It's that southbound direction passing Mill Road. That right lane is currently blocked out there for you on this Friday. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan Track
6. Good news. Jack has personally invited the Fan to the Memorial Tournament, and we're broadcasting 30 hours of live content, and we'll try not to embarrass ourselves.
Sponsored by Ohio for Responsible Gambling. Visit pausebeforeyouplay.org. The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
T-Bone would like to take a second to remind everyone that Eddie George is awesome. And that Ronnie James Dio was an American treasure. And that pickles are gross. Thank you. Here's T-Bone and Tyvus.
I keep telling y'all that Memorial Day is coming up soon. And you know what happens on Memorial Day? The pool opens. So that means it's time to get that body right. Now, Tri-State Men's Health, their advanced medical strategies featuring TRT, GH peptides, NAD+, GLP-1, and more. Treat low T and other hormonal issues to help you shed pounds, have more energy, enhance your body composition, improve sleep, increase your sex drive, and so much more. Helping you get back to feeling your best. So go see my people at Tri-State Men's Health. What you want to do is go to TriStateMen'sHealth.com and take their low T quiz. After that, you want to schedule a consult with Tri-State Men's Health. The cost of the appointment right now is only $99. They got two locations located in Columbus. One is in Hilliard. The other one's in Westerville. Don't ignore the signs. Call today and take the first steps towards feeling better. Call them today at 800-900-9654. Visit TriStateMen'sHealth.com. Featured therapies are compounded and have not been evaluated nor approved by the FDA. Provider prescription requires. See websites for details.
I will never give up my high school football, college football take. I will never give it up.
Let it go.
I can't. Just I can't.
Let it go for this morning.
Let it go like
Uncle Bo. Brother Bo had his son was out playing lacrosse Saturday and Sunday. Did they have any lacrosse tournaments going on in college lacrosse this weekend?
I'm sure
How
they
dare
did.
They? Because kids are playing lacrosse at the same time. They'll never grow the sport if they do that. I mean, my God. All right. I'm done with that for now. It's game show time. Dylan, we have a contestant on the line. Is that right?
We do.
Okay.
This is Brian.
Brian, good morning. Thanks for playing. Are you ready to try to win Dylan's breakfast?
Yeah, let's do it, guys.
All right, here's the deal. We're playing, this is Ohio, is it Ohio Trivia or Ohio Cup Trivia?
It's Ohio Cup Trivia, but it involves all of the Ohio teams.
Okay.
So not specifically Indians or, okay. Excuse me, whoa,
yeah.
Guardians.
It's all right.
And Reds.
Turn the clocks back there.
Right. Well, you were looking at history. There's probably some trivia from before when they were not called the Guardians. That's fair. Okay. So here is what we're doing today. What's the over-under on questions that we have to get right for him to win?
Okay, so I have 10 each. Have you guys, you know, the $100,000 pyramid where you're like describing to the other person what the thing is? That's how we're doing it today.
I have no idea.
Basically,
like charades?
Basically, I'm going to give you a name. You got to describe to Tyvis who that person is. Without saying their name. I'm going to text it to him.
Okay.
I have to look at my phone? This is so complicated.
Okay. No, it's not. I just said it to you right now. Don't say any of the names out loud.
Well, I know these names.
Yes, you should.
Oh, I see. Okay.
All right. And I have a timer over here. 30 seconds to get five names. So do you think, actually, for the sake of time, let's just do 10.
All right.
Okay.
Good.
10 names over under.
I feel like we need a second segment just explain the rules of
right.
the game.
All right.
So who's our caller again?
Brian.
Okay, how is Brian winning is what I'm asking.
Will they get over under 6.5 of these in 30 seconds?
Okay.
30 seconds?
You only sent me five names.
Yeah. Then he's going to do five.
Oh, I got you. All right. Brian, do you think we're going to get over or under six and a half
combined?
Combined. Between the two of us.
I got to go. I'm going under.
Good.
That's messed
that's
up.
A good idea. No, that's right. You're right. Because I don't even know if I understand the game.
You're explaining to me the name, and I got to get the name.
And you just can't say the name.
I can't say the name of the person, but I can say anything else. All right.
I have a timer over here.
Come on.
And I have to get all of these and try to get all of them in 30 seconds.
Yes.
I have five. Okay. Ready? Tell me when I go.
Ready, set, go.
All right. Tyvis. First guy. Linebacker. Played here. Ohio State.
James Laurinaitis.
Named after a bird.
AJ Hawk.
Boom. This guy, Pancakes. Offensive lineman.
Orlando Pace.
Boom. One of the best safeties of all time.
Mike Doss.
No.
Jack Tatum. Caleb Downs.
War number two. That doesn't help anybody.
War number two.
Pass. One of the best receivers in Ohio State football history.
Chris Carter.
There you go. You just said... Does he get credit for Jack Tatum? Because Jack Tatum was on the list. The guy I was trying to get you to say was Malcolm Jenkins.
He played corner here.
Did he? Fine, whatever. I got that wrong. My bad. All right, so do we give him credit for Jack Tatum or not? Because that's going to matter.
I'm going to go with no.
I got three.
Oh, man.
So now... This is going to really suck.
You full.
I'm not going to do well on this. Brian, you're not probably getting breakfast.
No, he took the under.
Oh, yeah, he did. So he's good. All right.
He did take the under.
All right. I actually kind of feel like I should groove this to Brian just so Dylan doesn't get breakfast.
I'm waiting on the text from Dylan.
This is good.
Just sent it.
Okay, right, here we go. Okay, here we go.
All right. On your mark, get set, go.
Best basketball player in NBA history.
LeBron James.
Okay.
There we go.
Fastest track sprinter at Ohio State.
Jesse Owens.
Okay, look at that. Best three-point shooter of all time.
Oh.
NBA.
From the state of Ohio, Steph Curry.
Here we go. Yeah. Pittsburgh Steelers best quarterback.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay. Golf legend at Ohio State.
Jack Nicklaus.
There we go.
Well,
man, but time to spare.
Come on now.
Brian.
You should have took the over.
Brian, I'm sorry. Brian, I was just too good. I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry, buddy.
The first time in your life, you guys have been too good.
That's right, Brian. Well, you know what? Maybe we'll get you something else anyway, even if it's not breakfast. We'll try to find you a gift pack or something. But thanks for playing, man. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it, all right? Have a good weekend.
Thanks, guys. Go Bucks.
There you go. Go Bucks, indeed.
Who would have thought that I'd be good at charades?
You were very good. Well, that's not charades, right?
It's close.
It's like...
Well, charades is... Don't you have to act it out?
You act it out.
Well, yeah, okay.
Whatever.
Yeah, that was... But okay, what was the game you based that off of?
$100,000 Pyramid.
It's funny. I've known of that game show. I've never watched it. Because they brought it back now.
Yes.
Right? It used to be... Yeah. It was $10,000 Pyramid back long time ago. Now they realized $10,000 is to buy a tank of gas. So they're like, we got to We got a, what's the term, Tyvus? Up the blick? Is that what they got to do?
Yeah. Get the blick-a-doo.
So they had to make it more money. All right. You know what, Dylan? That wasn't bad. That I was concerned.
If we were
radio, I didn't understand the rules at first.
If we were radio professionals, we would have talked about this even one iota before we actually played it. But we just planned it all out on the air because we're stupid.
I played the wrong buzzer sound. It is game show time, so that's the one I should have played.
Who was the two that we didn't get to on your list?
Oh,
Jack Tatum and who?
Jack Tatum and then Malcolm Jenkins.
Oh. Okay.
Like, you got 3 out of 5. You said Jack Tatum, but it was when I was trying to get you to talk about Malcolm Jenkins.
So. Who says safety?
I don't know why I said safety. I was panicking. I'm sorry.
Did he play safety at all in the NFL?
Malcolm Jenkins?
Yeah. That's probably why.
That's why.
Said at Ohio State.
I know. I'm sorry.
He said the best safety and one of the best safeties at Ohio State.
I'm sorry.
Mike Doss. Caleb Downs. Or number two, Mike Doss. Caleb Downs.
I'm not blaming you. I don't blame you for it. I blame me for being dumb. That's what I'm trying to say. Right? You're right. And I'm wrong. I'm dumb. Okay? My bad. You have anything to add to this?
I think I'm really good at this game.
I think you are. Do you think that the Reds or the Guards are going to take the Ohio Cup this weekend?
Is that a rhetorical? Do you really have that written down in your notebook?
I don't have a notebook. I don't even know how to write.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, probably true. I have a TV show that may cause our producer Dylan to take some PTO. Details next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Well, you may be encountering some slowdowns if you live over in Marysville. That's because we are seeing a crash near US 33. It's happening on State Route 31, though. It's that southbound direction passing Mill Road. That right lane is currently blocked out there for you on this Friday. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic.
.com.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cincinnati Reds got back in the win column in a big way last night, beating the Washington Nationals 15-1. Chase Burns threw 6 scoreless innings, and J.J. Bleday hit 2 home runs in the victory. The Redlegs will make the trip up I-71 and start the battle for the Ohio Cup tonight in Cleveland. First pitch versus the Guardians is set for 7:10. There will be a couple of Game 6s in the association tonight. First, the Cleveland Cavaliers will try to close out the Detroit Pistons at home with tip-off at 7 o'clock. Following that game, the San Antonio Spurs will try to end their series versus the Minnesota Timberwolves on the road in Minneapolis. And there are 7 players tied for the lead heading into the second round at the PGA Championship, including world number 1 Scottie Scheffler. This update is sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reach your health and weight goals with Reclaim by Awaken 180, a 10-week medication-free plan. Visit Awaken180WeightLoss.com.
Tyvus played in some of the biggest stadiums in the world.
T-Bone has eaten some of the biggest pizzas in the world.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Coming up 1/2 hour from now, Browns reporter Mary Kay Cabot will join us.
The Hall of Famer.
The Hall of Famer, indeed. She will be part of the show. We will get her thoughts on all things Browns, quarterback battle, everything else like that. I'm sure she'll have a lot of thoughts on that. Oh, hey, Tyvus, when I play this song, you hear these notes. Do you know what this is?
A piano.
Any concept of what song this is?
A minor.
No. When I
was a young boy, my father.
You know this?
Took me into
I've never heard it a day in my life.
Man, that even crossed over into pop.
Oh, yeah. This was huge. This was a song, Tyvus.
It sounds sad.
It's funny you mention that. Because it is off an album called The Black Parade. But
this song is called
Welcome to the Black Parade. It is by My Chemical Romance. It came out over 20 years ago now. But last night, historic Crew Stadium, it was one of the biggest audiences they've ever had at Sonic Temple.
He was there?
No, I wasn't there. I'm getting ready
was
for the
Reeser
show.
Was there?
Yeah, Reeser was there, I guarantee you. If he made it.
Yeah, is this what it is? You put your light on and wave it?
Yes, of course you do. Oh, yeah. You've never heard any of this, really.
I've never heard this song a day in my life.
I'm fascinated by what you've heard and what you haven't. But here's the part where it gets going, right? This is There you go. Now we got the kids are dancing. Yeah, it's good.
I wonder. This is something I wonder if my wife is up watching. She would know like this type of stuff. My wife is very. She listens to all genre. Like so, she listens to me, R&B, hip hop, reggaeton. That's about it.
That's all you're kind of into.
Yeah, like, but I will if it's a good rock song, like I'll listen to it. Or if it's like on a video game or something like that, then I'll listen to it because it's on the game.
Yeah, I get that.
But like I'm not seeking it out.
No, but if you hear it, if you absorb it while you're out in public or playing a video game or something like that, you'll retain it and you'll later go, "Oh yeah, I've heard that. I don't know what it is."
Right.
Yeah.
But that one's not jogging any memories.
That's okay.
And I feel bad because just, what is it, one of their best songs?
Yeah, it's one of their most famous songs.
See?
It's not, now their I think their most famous song is called Teenagers. It's off the same album. And that one got a lot of radio play too, but the problem is the literal lyric is teenagers scare the living bleep out of me. Well, and I don't have the edited version to play for you.
You got the button now. Beep.
Yeah, I could just... You're right. Just do that. I don't know if I could be right on it for that. That would be a little tough. But I would just say that this is a little hot take that only like music people who know all these bands will care about. I would just say this. I think My Chemical Romance is to like kids who were in high school in the early 2000s. They are to those kids, or those now they're grown adults, the millennials, right? But that band to those people is the same as Queen was to those of you who grew up in like the 70s and 80s. Telling you that is this generation.
That is a fire take.
That is the millennials version of Queen. They have the albums. They have the breadth, the depth, the performances, everything.
Which one would Bo fit in? Would Queen or Mike?
He'd be Queen. He's before. He's
you think
early.
Bo listen
I'm not
to
saying
Queen
he likes
like
Queen. I'm saying Bo would be more of the time that would have grown up, and that would have been where you would have like experienced Queen, perhaps.
What about Mary Kay? You think she's a Queen?
Definitely before that time, I'm saying. Like, she would have been more in that 70s and 80s, like that formative years of finding out. Now, Bo wasn't in the 70s, but I'm saying like 80s music and stuff. I think 80s and early 90s stuff would have influenced Bo. Certainly, I would think Mary Kay. Mm. I am someone who was like right in between those because I kind of came late 90s, early 2000s. So I caught some of the My Chemical Romance stuff and I loved it. But I think they are this like this century's Queen is what I'm going to say.
They got nothing.
That
on,
band.
They ain't got nothing on camp.
Nobody does. Because no one else is getting played at the shoe like that. But yeah, that's yeah. Although 21 Pilots is doing a show at Ohio Stadium, right, in October. Maybe they'll start playing Ohio. Maybe they'll play 21 Pilots instead of camp. Who knows?
They got one of those songs that you lock and sway? 21 Pilots.
They got plenty of songs like that. Yeah.
Okay, so
they got songs you could do
well,
that
what
too.
What is Ohio State doing?
I told you. It's taking my time on my ride. That song, Ride by 21 Pilots, it's better than anything Camp ever did. And it would be much better for sing-along in the shoe. I guarantee you. So I have a TV show that could cause Dylan to take some PTO. It's the new Netflix series Quarterback. It's the current season of it has been announced. Did you see who's going to be involved this
year?
It will be... So they followed these guys last year. They've now edited all that together. The show will debut July 14th. They followed around last season Cam Ward in his rookie year with the Titans, so mm-hmm. That'll be interesting. Jaden Daniels with the Commanders, who obviously had a pretty significant injury and dealt with a lot of stuff, so that will be intriguing. Joe Flacco, who played for two teams in the same division, kind of rare. Remember he talked about being alone at the bar?
Mm-hmm.
Now he kind of enjoyed having those.
They better put that on there.
I'm sure they will.
But when he was alone, there was actually a camera there, and we're going to get to see it.
Well, that's right. Him alone with the producers of this show, the cameraman. Yes, right. But then the fourth quarterback they are featuring is Baker Mayfield. Dylan, how do you feel about getting to watch the full Baker Mayfield experience? That too.
Because Baker is a part of this. That's why I'll be watching it. Revindication of my thoughts on Baker Mayfield. I get to watch all the hype in the beginning. Yeah, Baker Mayfield, chip on his shoulder. He's good. First month of the season. Then I get to re-experience the train wreck that happens where he plays like poo and the Buccaneers miss the playoffs. I will be watching. I want the behind the scenes of my vindication of my opinion of Baker Mayfield that he sucks.
This is a big year for him. Contract year.
Yeah.
Is it a contract year for him?
I think it is.
I didn't realize that.
He's going to be a backup quarterback for somebody else next year.
How old is Baker?
Yeah, I love it. I love let the hate flow through you, Dylan. I like it. That's right.
Let it out.
How old is Baker Mayfield? I'm gonna put him at 32.
I was gonna say like 32. That sounds about
right. I said 32.
Right.
No.
Maybe a little younger.
Probably like 28, 29.
Well, wasn't he drafted in, what was it, 17?
What's your, I looked it
was
up.
He
I know.
What it take, 17?
Make your final guesses right now.
31.
Okay, you're saying 31. What are you saying?
I'm going to guess 30.
30.
That's for you, Tyvus. He turned 31 a month ago, April 14th.
I was just off.
No, Dylan's right. Dylan, I mean, you know you hate him so much, you know his entire biography, apparently, because you nailed it. He is 31 years old. But
got about a good 4 or 5 more years.
Of backup quarterback play. Absolutely. Yes.
Hey, they're not throwing him. Right. He's not getting the bag.
But Dylan, look, I know you're not a Browns fan, but if you were rooting for the Browns and they had a chance right now to be like, you know what, parachute him in, he and Todd Monken work together, learn the offense. He's got from today until the start of the NFL season to learn the offense better than any options they have in Cleveland.
I would be on the Tyvus Browns making the playoff train.
Okay. So
come
I'm
on
saying,
now. Come on.
You're calling
come
him.
On.
You are his ultimate hater. You are calling him a backup quarterback right now.
No, next year.
Okay. You are acknowledging, though, that if he was on the Browns this year, there would be reason to believe they could make the playoffs.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just pointing out, as much as you hate him, you have to acknowledge he is starting level quarterback.
That's how bad the quarterback situation in Cleveland is right now.
That's how good the defense is in Cleveland, too, by the way. Like, if you had a functional quarterback back there, who I'm not the biggest Baker fan either, but like, and you know he will have his lull in the middle of the season, but for sure, if you dropped him back on that roster right now, yeah, probably a playoff team, especially in that division. It looks very up for grabs. The AFC North does. So, yeah, overall, I feel like that's pretty much accurate. Tyvus, do you feel as looking at the Browns schedule now that that's out, you feel like the Browns are in a good position?
17-0.
Okay, great. Yeah. I saw a breakdown of the Bengals schedule for 2026. Their three hardest games they listed as the following. This was from Billy Reset, who writes for Bengals Wire. You can read it on Yahoo Sports. That he has their toughest game at Baltimore, Week 7, 1 o'clock game. Again, though, not at night. Hasn't Joe Burrow been saying like he hates the fact that every year it seems like they get a night game at Baltimore? Now it looks like they won't have that. And they get a bye week before that, because the bye week for the Bengals, I believe, is Week 6. So 2 weeks to prepare for that game. If that's one of your toughest games, that's pretty good.
I just need their defense to take another step. I truly want to see that come together. And I'm not saying it's Week 1 against Tampa Bay. They just going to be ready to go. I think it's going to take some time. But I think as the season goes on, I think that defense is really going to be good this year for them.
Bengals, other two tough games, three toughest games, right, that they listed. The other two are at Houston, Week 2, 1 o'clock game. I do think that Houston team will be tough. Their defense is very good. So that'll be a nice battle of how does their defense try to stop this Bengals offense, and concurrently, how good that Bengals defense is. Can it stop what CJ Stroud's trying to do, as he's trying to get back to being who he was a couple years ago? The third toughest game they have on here is the Chiefs, Week 14, 4:25 p.m. currently is the kickoff time for that. That is December 13th. That's, though, a home game. So you get the Chiefs at home, which is good, which we already knew. But if you're going to play them late in the season, rather play them at home than on the road. So, yeah, I think that's the placement of that is fine to have that later in the season. But yeah,
God, I thought
Bengals have a very winnable schedule here.
I thought they was calling it Burrowhead.
Oh, were they? Yeah, I forgot all about
Arrowhead
that.
Was Burrowhead.
I forgot about that. All right, Morning Breath is coming up next. The people who should just shut up. It's T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there, and good Friday morning to you. We are still watching that crash over in Delaware County right by the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium. Both directions of State Route 257 are closed right now, and that's in between East Glick Road to Heath Road Drive. We now have learned that it involves a school bus. No kids were on board at the time of this crash, and we're not sure which school district. But here's the thing. If you're heading towards that area, again, take this detour. Just get off State Route 257 and take Sawmill Road instead. That will save you a lot of time on this Friday. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
We at The Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. 30, Sunday mornings at 8.
It's the Fan Call-In Show, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll have a good deal of sunshine for the morning hours, then a few more clouds build in toward midday into the afternoon. It'll be a pleasant one, though, with highs around 71 today. Clouds increase coming up tonight. Lows are back to 56 for a low. For tomorrow, variable cloudiness. We'll have some scattered showers and thunderstorms around the area. Looks like the best chance is going to be in the morning, then a break, then some additional redevelopment later in the afternoon and evening. Warmer and more humid, highs around 80. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Common Man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good clean boy. Moonlight, says man's hemorrhoid. Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan. Two men who both know the value of a good hat.
You're bald!
This is Bone and Tyvis.
All right, now's the time to call Comer and Cross to transform your garage with a gleaming new Comer and Cross garage floor. And if you call them today, 1-800-NEW-FLOOR, one of the deals they have for you, they will take 50% off installation from Comer and Cross when you call them to get your entire garage made to look brand new in just one day. Yep, they'll take 50% off installation. Again, the number 1-800-NEW-FLOOR. Now, why is Comer and Cross garage floors the gold standard? Why is it so good? What does it do? Well, it fills in all the cracks. It fills in all the different chips, different things that maybe have happened over the years with your garage floor, any stains, things like that. They'll all disappear with this Comer and Cross garage floor coating. But their pros will come out and install this product in one day. They'll take everything out of your garage, white glove type of treatment for you, and then once they get that job done, you'll pull into your garage the next time and you'll feel like $1 million. It'll look like a new car showroom and you won't have had to do anything other than call them. It's very simple. 1-800-NEW-FLOOR, 50% off installation. The other way to get a hold of them is comercross.com. You can get a hold of them anytime there. comercross.com. Check them out today. Tyvis?
Sometimes it's better if people just shut up.
Shut up!
It's time for Morning Breath.
Apparently one of those people are you.
No, it was me, and that's right. Because I was going to say, Tyvis, are you ready for Morning Breath? And then you were way ahead of me. Good job. All right, so this comes from Mike Greenberg. I don't think he needs to shut up totally on this. He's talking about college football and moving to 24 teams. And the fact that he is a guy who works for ESPN, they control the current rights to the college football playoffs. So some people are saying, oh, you're just against the 2014 playoff because you work for ESPN. Well, here's what Greeny had to say about the problem with a 2014 playoff.
I will say this. I don't know what ESPN does and doesn't want, but what I can tell you with certainty is that the idea that good teams, championship-worthy teams, get left out of the playoff is a good thing, not a bad thing. If you put every single team that might win the championship into the playoff, you might just as well not play the regular season to begin with. If we live in a world where Ohio State and Michigan rest their starters for that game at the end of the season because they've got the potential of five playoff games still sitting in front of them, then college football as we have known it ceases to exist. So I don't have a vote in any of this. Obviously, other people do, and they'll make the decisions they make based on a lot of reasons that candidly have nothing to do with what's in the best interest of the game itself.
I mean, I don't think he's wrong on a lot of that.
I don't either.
But Tyvis,
I like the, but that's
if a coach said, I'm not playing my starters in the Michigan game, or if a Michigan coach said, I'm not playing my starters against Ohio State, they wouldn't be the coach at either of those schools, right?
I would think. I mean, you really move into a different world. Like, the fact that you're saying that the game isn't important. I mean, I know Ryan Day wouldn't say that. I mean, that's literally one of his goals. That is a successful season is win, beat the team up north, win the Big Ten, win the national championship. So you're telling me you're going to just take one of those off and just work?
I can't see that.
I get
that
it. They would go back to the argument that we had a couple of years ago where it was, would you rather beat the team up north or win a national championship? Well, that whole argument will come back.
And I know people tell me I need to shut up on this because they don't believe me, but I'll tell you the truth right now. I got more joy out of watching Ohio State beat Michigan this year than I did in any game played in 2024.
That's crazy.
That's not crazy. It's me. I'm telling you. I got more joy out of watching them beat Michigan up there. All their sad sack fans had to sit around in the snow as Brutus is doing the OHIO script Ohio in the snow and crossing out the M. I got more joy out of that than watching them hoist the national championship trophy. That's just real. because I grew up with the Michigan game. I didn't grow up every year having they didn't even have that trophy when I was growing up. I'm just saying that's the number one goal for me every year. So I know not every Buckeye fan's there. I'm not saying you have to be. I'm saying that's where I am. And I'm telling you, I cannot picture an Ohio State coach looking at that game and saying, we'll just put the backups in.
I think on this side, you don't have to worry about ducking smoke, but Michigan has already proved that they will duck smoke and not play Ohio State. They proved it in 2020.
Well, good.
See them doing it.
Let them do it. And then we beat them 60-0. Great. I'd love that. More of that, please. Like, if they don't want to play, that's on them. I can't control that. And I would hope their fans have enough of a standard to say, this loser coach needs to get out of here, because that is the ultimate example of loser talk in my mind. That's terrible. But I saw this on social media yesterday, so I'll put it out there just to even have the discussion. What if Michigan is 3-10, or what would they be, 2-10 or something like that coming to that game? What, 2-9, and Ohio State is like undefeated. Would then you consider as an Ohio State fan? You're like undefeated. They're 2-0. They're terrible.
Would you consider sitting the starters?
Yeah.
No.
And that's what I said too.
No, because
guess when you sit them in the third quarter when you're up by 4 touchdowns, then you can sit.
I ain't sitting them at all.
Well, fair enough. I'm just saying, like, would you ever worry about the argument that, well, they could get hurt? Not for me.
They can get hurt. They can get hurt in all the other games too.
Yeah, that's right.
You see, the thing with Greeny saying this is that
he's not wrong on 90% of what he's talking about. By the way,
his specific Ohio State Michigan comment, I feel like people in the national media don't really understand what the game means to people in Columbus and Ann Arbor. No. Like, it's almost like, I feel like people would be like, okay, Michigan is the task at hand right now. You're not even thinking about the playoffs during Michigan week. You're thinking about Michigan.
Well, you know what, though? That's how I feel, Dylan. I'm glad you feel that way. I do think there are a lot of people who are like that. I do think there's a growing number of Buckeye fans who do engage in the whole, like, well, national championship's more important than beating Michigan. It's like, all right, fine, but not to the level that you would risk losing the Michigan game or sitting guys, because it does. Like, if the result is not in question, if you are clearly making the playoffs and your seeding is secure, let's say you're undefeated and Michigan is, like, I don't know, terrible and they're out of the playoffs. It's not even you're knocking them out of the playoffs. That argument still to me would be, oh, well, you could rest your starters. It wouldn't hurt anything. I wouldn't care. It would cause me, again, to feel like I'm not watching college football anymore if the starters don't play. If you don't try to go out and win the Michigan game with your starters, and again, that won't happen when Ryan Day's here. I can't picture a coach that they would hire that would ever think that's okay. But, yeah, let's put that firmly in the ground that we don't ever need that happening. But
I like the fact, though, I think that's part of sports, is always having the debate of the one good team that didn't get in. Like, last year was Notre Dame. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, they should have got in, but they didn't. But, like, that's part of it. That's literally every year. So, like, I don't want it to be where everybody just gets in, like, because then it's...
Why does it matter, Tyvus, if everyone doesn't get in? Were there any games that Notre Dame possibly could have won that might have helped their cause? Of course there were. Like,
they would have swapped with Miami.
Right. I'm saying I want it to matter when Notre Dame and Miami play. I want it to matter who wins that game. And you know what I mean? Like, I want it to matter when Ohio State and Texas play, to some degree, who wins that game. I know both Ohio State and Texas are hoping to be in the playoffs this year. But, like, there is a chance that if you lose that game and you lose two more, you may be out. Like, it's not the same as it was when it was just the BCS. And if you lose one game, you're out of the, you know, you might be out of the picture. That's a level that's, yeah, even that is a little bit, you know, hard. But I'm just saying, like, the regular season in college football is one of the best things we have going. Why would we want to screw that up and just completely devalue it? I have no idea.
I want to know how they going to go to 24 if Bama not moving. I mean, not Bama. The SEC ain't moving off.
Well, I think this is a pressure campaign, right, by everybody involved with it to say SEC is really the only holdout here. And we could get this done if it wasn't for them. And the SEC meetings are coming up in a couple weeks. Well, maybe everybody should start talking about it more.
That's the case. The SEC saving college football right now.
Yeah, well, that's what I hate to say, but it's true.
We're siding with the hillbillies because for the first time.
Because I don't think I think people don't realize is that once you go to 24, it's never not coming under 24 again.
No.
Like, that's it.
They're not reducing it.
We can't not,
put because you can't put the toothpaste back in the toothpaste container.
That's right.
Smart man said that, Tyvus. I know that.
Back in the toothpaste container.
Yeah.
That's, can't go back.
You know what that guy's problem is?
Weed. He's
probably just on something.
You know what? I feel like there's a rhetoric out there that the coaches want this because they feel like it'll save their jobs. I don't agree with that. Like, look at what happened with James Franklin and like Brian Kelly. Like, I feel like as soon as they were out of playoff contention, it was like, you're fired, because it should be easier to be a national championship contention now. And as soon as you're not, people want your head to roll. Like, I feel like,
oh, you're saying if it was like four teams or eight teams, people would have had more patience for him. Right. That's a fair point.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it's had the opposite effect on coaches that people thought it would.
No, and but now those coaches are saying, yeah, but I will never be out of the top 24, so I'm not worried about it.
Until it happens,
till you have one down year, and they just cut your ass. You're exactly right. Yeah, that's a good point by you. All right, 2 minutes away, we will talk with legendary Browns reporter. She is Mary Kay Cabot. She'll join us in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
On the east side, we do have a crash as you're heading towards the airport. 270 northbound passing Hamilton Road. Expect some lane closures and the backups now extending passing that Main Street and Broad Street area. Also, for our friends in Marysville, a crash just alongside US 33, but it is happening on State Route 31. It's southbound passing Mill Road. That right lane is currently blocked out there for you. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
543. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. One of these men was prom king. The other is Tyvus. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Joining us now on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline, Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, covers the Browns. Mary Kay, good morning. The schedule is out now. We already knew the teams, but now we see the order. Everybody's saying this is a fairly favorable schedule for the Browns. Do you agree with that? Oh, is Mary Kay there? I don't know. Oh, there she is. Sorry about that, Mary Kay.
Go ahead. Sorry about that. Actually, I think it's going to be really, really tough for Todd Monken because they have six of their first nine games on the road. That is a tall order for any NFL coach, let alone a first-year head coach. So he has to get this very, very young team, especially a young offense, ready to play on the road right from the jump. I mean, you start out bang, bang, two games down in Florida on the road, and then, again, in those first nine, they have six on the road, including three straight. So I actually think that that's going to be a tall order for him. Last year, they only went 2-6 on the road. Unless he gets this very, very young offense ready to score some points pretty early on, they could be done by the midpoint if they're not ready.
When you look at the schedule, there's two games that really stick out to a lot of Browns fans, and that's the Buccaneers and the Falcons game. Obviously, Baker Mayfield is with the Buccaneers and Kevin Stefanski is with the Falcons. Which one do you think fans are more hyped up for?
Oh, you know, that's such a good question. I think whenever someone comes back into Huntington Bank Field, I think it packs more of a wallop than it does when you go somewhere and you visit someone. So even though I think there's going to be plenty of drama and intrigue for the Baker game for many reasons, I do think that, you know, fans themselves might be a little bit more hyped up for the Kevin Stefanski game because they can actually go to that game and he will be back in Huntington Bank Field. So I would put that one maybe just a little bit higher on the drama meter. But certainly Baker Mayfield and facing him in Tampa, there will be so many storylines there, including the fact, and I was talking about this yesterday, including the fact that you've got really no love lost between Myles Garrett and Baker Mayfield. So that game within a game with those two, I think that's going to be very interesting.
Browns beat writer, Cleveland.com, Mary Kay Cabot joining us in the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Mary Kay, the quarterback battle obviously is the story, has been for like what, basically since last year's draft, it feels like. But now the Deshaun Watson part of this, you know, it's been such a weird road with him. But if you had to put the percentage on it right now, chances that he is your opening day starter for the Cleveland Browns, where would you put that percentage at?
You know, I probably would put it over 50% right now. just based on what I've seen and heard about how things are going right now. It doesn't mean that Shador can't come back and win this competition. But from everything that I've heard, Deshaun came out of voluntary minicamp with an edge. And it wasn't just the voluntary minicamp. It was the first couple of weeks of the offseason program of them, you know, watching them even from afar a little bit while they were out on the field, just throwing and running the offense and installing and whatnot. So he emerged, Deshaun did, ahead from what I gathered from that voluntary minicamp. But once again, that does not mean that Shador can't come from behind. Just because you have the pole position or the inside track, that person doesn't always win the race. So it's not over yet, but he's going to have to come from behind a little bit.
You got a chance to see rookie mini camp. Was there anybody that stood out to you, or what was your takeaways from rookie mini camp?
Well, first of all, Talen Green, the quarterback, stood out immediately for a number of reasons, including his excellent size and length. My goodness, this young man is 6'6", and then he does have a really nice spin on the ball, although he needs to harness the power of that arm, and he's going to need to work on some things in that regard. But there's that height, there's the spin on the ball, and then the speed. My goodness, 4.36 in the 40 for a man that size. So, you know, and it was on display. He took off running a couple times, and he runs like the wind. So I really could possibly see him on the goal line or in a 4th-and-1 situation or running a 4-minute drill if he demonstrates he's ready for that early on.
I'm curious, Mary Kay, because obviously a lot of us who follow the Browns and who, you know, root for the Browns are of the opinion that it's always going to be about the offense there, and we think defense is just kind of a given that it's going to be awesome. But now you do lose Jim Schwartz this offseason. Mike Rutenberg steps in as the new defensive coordinator. Should we, as Browns fans, just assume, oh yeah, defense won't miss a beat? Or is that a concern, do you think, going into the season as well a little bit, that maybe it won't be as good as it's been the last few years?
Well, I guess we'll have to see. But I think the fact that they retained all of the assistant coaches that were under Jim Schwartz, the same things are going to be going on in the linebacker room and the defensive line room and the defensive backs room for the most part. And when Mike Rutenberg comes in, he's kind of joining what was already going on there instead of bringing in his whole new terminology and his whole defensive system. It was going to be way easier for the existing personnel and coaching staff to adapt to him than vice versa. So I think it should be a seamless transition, but we'll have to see how it actually plays out on the grass.
Outside of the quarterback competition, is there another position group battle that you're looking forward to? Because they start with OTAs next week, correct? Is there a position group that you're looking at for a battle?
Absolutely, yes. And that is the receiving core. My goodness, there are some really cool things going on there now with the addition of rookie receivers Casey Concepcion and Denzel Boston. And you're going to have some other guys that are going to have to elevate their game and make sure that they can stand their ground. You're going to have Cedric Tillman, who now has a new big-bodied receiver in Denzel Boston to compete with. You have Casey Concepcion, who's going to be going out there and really challenging for a starting job right away, in my opinion. And then you've got Jerry Jeudy, who they really fully expect to come back and rebound from a down year last year. And the Browns attribute a lot of that, of course, to the quarterback's lack of continuity, but also just to the way the system worked out last year. So they're looking forward to seeing what the receiving core can do in Todd Monken's offense. And I think there will be some fierce battles in that department.
How do you think Todd Monken's kind of acclimated himself there to Cleveland as he's gotten, you know, around the facility? You've gotten to, you know, interview him a bit. Like, what has your sense been so far? What differences do you notice, if any, from when Kevin Stefanski was there?
Well, first of all, we had Todd Monken here in 2019 as the offensive coordinator under Freddie Kitchens. So a lot of us already knew Todd Monken. He met with us on a weekly basis throughout that whole entire season as the offensive coordinator. So we know him. And, you know, I think that maybe that helped him get a little bit acclimated to the whole media scene in Cleveland. And just for some differences, I've seen a lot more, I would say a lot more 11 on 11. And I think that's going to come in handy because in the past couple of years, I don't feel like the team has been ready to hit the ground running in week one. I didn't feel like there were enough of those situations and the 11-on-11s in practice. And I think Todd is all about the work in this offseason program. And that's why I had advocated after I reported that Deshaun was in the lead. That's why I had advocated that, you know, just go ahead then and give him the QB1 reps, because you have to get this football team ready to play. And now that I see the schedule, I think that even more so, that you have to be 100% ready. And conversely, if Shador were in the lead right now, then give him all or most of the QB run reps to get that starting 11 working together in concert.
You know, yesterday G. Bush did a podcast with Deion Sanders Prom, and he was saying that he feels that Shador has been treated unfairly as sometimes as far as being reported on and stuff like that. Do you think that that's true? Do you see where he's coming from on that one? Or you think that everything is just all credible?
Well, I know that I've been very fair in my coverage of Shador, and I think most people in the Cleveland media have. I know that he draws a lot of attention nationally, and I know that he can be a polarizing figure. But I think on balance, for the most part, if you read the things that we have written and said about Shador, I think we've been really fair to him, and in most cases, pretty positive. I really wrote a ton of great stories about Shador last season. And also, I came away from his showcase saying that the Browns should draft him number two overall. So, you know, I don't know exactly. Well, he wasn't specific. Deion, in my opinion, wasn't specific in what he was talking about there or who he was talking about. So I'm not really sure. So I can't really speak to, you know, whether he was right or wrong in what he was saying. But I do know, or at least I believe, that here in Cleveland, we have been very, very fair in our coverage of Shador. I think what happens is, and people don't understand this, is that there are a lot of things out there on social media attributed to reporters that they never actually said or wrote. And I think in this age of AI and being able to use social media in any way that you want to or need to, I think we all need to be able to discern what someone actually said and wrote and what they didn't.
I think that's a fair point. I also think, Mary Kay, quite honestly, there are a lot of people, I'm not saying Deion is this way, but I think there are a lot of fans who see a sentence of an article and then don't go read the whole thing.
Yeah.
And they take the one sentence and go, that's the whole, and they don't actually go pay attention. Or even a video. You post a video of something and they take 2 seconds of it. They don't watch the whole thing. So, yeah, I think you're spot on there. Well, we appreciate the coverage. We appreciate the time this morning. We'll talk again soon, all right?
Thank you, Mary Kay.
Sounds good. Sure. Yeah. Take care.
There you go. Mary Kay Cabot on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll hit the buzzer coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Well, folks, we are still closely watching a crash involving a school bus out by Powell and near that Columbus Zoo and Aquarium. Both directions of State Route 256 still closed out there. We're talking between East Glick Road to Heath Road Drive. For that detour, if you can get off State Route 257 and basically just head towards Powell, use Sawmill Road. That will save you a lot of time to avoid some of those backups and delays. We also have a crash on the east side of Columbus 270 northbound passing Hamilton Road out there. I'm 10TV's Marina Albizu with your Fan.
The Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to The Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye Stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Tyvus is drinking a protein shake for breakfast. T-Bone is eating a protein donut. Minus the protein. And it's more than one donut. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Joining the program, a guy that's not only my uncle, but today will be my lawyer, because I have a legal question to ask you. Bo Bishop,
Wow.
Holy.
This
well,
morning.
Say, I consider myself pretty intelligent, but I will say that I did go cross-eyed where you guys are trying to describe how to play the game you played an hour ago.
I know. I did
I had no idea what was going on. I was Brian confused was on as well. Hold, and Brian doesn't know if he's picking high or lower. Do I want him to win or lose? I couldn't tell anything.
Yeah, I got you. Gotcha. I'm with that.
We got it. We got it on the record once. So now when we play it from here on out, everybody knows.
You also have the sound drop that Brother Bone is saying LeBron James is the best player of all time is with you starting that. And then you have him saying you're very good at this and I'm dumb. So you have those sound drops. Now
yes, we do.
Too.
That's right. No, and Bo, time. I mean, I knew what he was doing there because he's playing the game knowing how I would I'm answer aware. It. And I'm like,
I knew.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
You know your host.
All right. So legal advice. Let me paint the scene. I walk in the building. And I'm talking to Tebow. He goes over to his desk. He picks up an envelope. He opens up the envelope.
Yeah.
He pulls out what's inside, and it's a little shirt. And I'm like, why does he have a little tiny shirt? And he says, oh, this is for you. This isn't for me. This is for you. But they put it on my desk. Hmm. Should I have him prosecuted for opening up my mail?
Did Brother Bone read? Is it addressed to you?
It says clear as day.
Oh. It is.
Time is foul.
This is not the best morning for Brother Bone.
I want to tell you, just to be clear, I'm not defending my innocence here. Like, I would throw myself on the mercy of the court. I clearly didn't read it. It was sitting on my desk. Fraud. And I thought, well, it's on my desk. It must be for me. And then I realized Tyvus doesn't have a desk. So, of course, where else would they put it? But either my or Dylan's desk is where they would put it. So, of course, that's what it is. But, yeah, it's a onesie for baby tsunami.
Yeah, it says tsunami warning, and it got a wave on it. It's actually really nice. Shout out to Adam who sent this for me.
That's very cool. Yeah, I mean, that's like if somebody puts their mail in your mailbox.
Yeah, a little bit.
Do you read every label on... Like, I don't, usually.
It's my responsibility. I messed up. I should have looked to see if it was actually addressed to me.
It's an understandable mess up. Yes, you're guilty. You should be 10 years in the hole, but at the same time, you know, it's understandable. It's understandable guilt.
Oh, well, 10 years in the hole. I'm a little worried about that.
What are you supposed to do with somebody else's mail?
When somebody... What do you do with somebody else's mail?
So we have like one of those pedestal things. So then you just put it back in the outgoing mail if that happens. If you don't have that, then you just put like the little flag up and then the mail carrier understands that it was delivered wrong.
See, I've never had a mailbox like that. It's always been like a box.
A pedestal thing or whatever?
Yeah.
Everybody's mail is there.
Yeah, you mean like, yes. Like there's like 10 mailboxes in one little thing. Yes. Gotcha.
Just put it in the outgoing mail.
No. Because what I've been doing is just
opening
pitching it.
You throw their mail away?
My God. Somebody's mortgage and DG's just like, just throw this thing away.
And be like,
who the hell needs it?
Here's this family heirloom from someone's grandma who died. I'm throwing it away.
Throw it in the trash. Not my problem.
It was crazy. We had a couple packages the other day that came to the house, Bo. This is real. We had a couple packages that came to the house, and we didn't recognize the name on them, but it was the right address. And then when my wife did a little digging and she realized these are the people who we bought the house from, but it was like, it was not their last name. It must have been like a maiden name or something,
but
we found was we've lived in this house for 6 years.
Yeah.
And then because we didn't know who the name was at first, and we posted in the little neighborhood message group that's out there like, hey, does anybody know who this is? Who this package? We got packages of yours. We'd like to give them to you if they're yours. And someone replied and said, oh yeah, that's the people who used to own the house. We're still friends with them. And then they reached out and confirmed, like, yeah, this is legit. Please give it to these people. So we did that. But what I'm saying is, how did that happen 6 years later? That's the part I'm still confused on, right? Because
I'm not Newman. I can't answer how the U.S. Postal Service works or doesn't work or how 6 years. Initially, I thought maybe this was going to be like, you know, the sponsor for Common Man's Basement, that sometimes maybe they put a different name on something so that there's a little, even though the address is the same.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes, give you absolutely.
A little ambiguity on the purchase.
Yeah.
You ever go there and purchase something, they give you a pitch black bag. So people don't know what's inside.
It's called discreet packaging.
Yeah.
And then you take it to an NBA game or a Bills game, you throw it on the field, it's bright and green, and you just let everybody see what's going on.
Everybody wins.
It's fine. Yeah. Now, I have one more question for you, Bo. It has nothing to do with the legal side of things. It has to do on the music side of things.
Mm. Okay.
I was talking about, so
you know, My Chemical Romance played Sonic Temple last night. Headlined it. It was a big deal. Sonic Temple, like, sold out. Parking's not available. Like, they're one of the biggest draws they've ever had at Sonic Temple was My Chemical Romance.
Yep.
Here's my question for you. Because I was saying that I feel like My Chemical Romance to people who were born in, like, the 90s and later who like that style of rock music, that's, like, their Queen. The band Queen. That's how, that's, they have a big level of followers. They have a huge breadth of music. They they do a lot of different styles within their music. And then we had a discussion that I was talking about how Queen was like that for a lot of people. If you grew up watching, listening to music in the 80s, 70s and 80s. Yeah. And that was what prompted Tyves to say, do you think Bo is more in the Queen music camp of timing or in the My Chemical Romance? I said, I think Bo would be more Queen era of rock and roll, right? Am I wrong on that?
You both are, actually. So it's I'm in the middle. I don't have a real strong connection with either one. Queen was a little before me. I mean, I think Freddie Mercury's dead by late 80s, right? So I'm a,
I think you're right. Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty young. I don't, the only, the first, I remember my first ever Queen experience was Wayne's World Bohemian Rhapsody. That's the first time I ever heard Queen. Like, I was like in middle school and Wayne's World came out and Bohemian Rhapsody. So that was the first time I ever heard Queen, and I was in either late middle school, early high school. I can't remember. And then My Chemical Romance was after me.
Right.
So there's a gap there where I couldn't tell you. I guess I know more Queen songs than I do My Chemical Romance. I don't know what would be like the 90s version of that. Like, what is the 90s version? Like, if you grew up in the, if you're a little kid in the 80s, then you kind of grew up formidable years in the 90s. What is the 90s version of that's, Queen and My Chemical Romance? I don't know what that would be.
That's Metallica, solid.
AC/DC.
No.
Well, but you know what? Would it be like that? Like one of the grunge?
Maybe, like, but Pearl Jam? I feel like that's what happened.
Bigger than both of those, but maybe I'm wrong.
Pearl Jam is pretty huge. And you know what? That could be fair. Pearl Jam is one of those that has the depth and the breadth.
Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
Foo Fighters? Is that like that
Foo
era?
Fighters, as Christopher Walken said on SNL. Yeah, that... No, but I think you're right. Like, there was an era in the 90s
for me
where it was just like, hey, all this, like, operatic, really feel good stuff, this big instrumentation. No, we're just stripping it down and we're all mad. And then that was the 90s rock. And then we went back into it with the emo stuff in the 2000s.
I'll tell you the most startling thing. I remember this vividly. I remember this exact, I was watching MTV and I remember this vividly as a kid. The video that was on was Unskinny Bop by Poison.
Okay.
The very next video that came up was Smells Like Teen Spirit. And I remember thinking to myself, these two things cannot possibly coexist.
They don't. And
these two things don't work together in any way. And could, we're going in a different direction, I think, kids.
Absolutely right.
Was kind of the feeling of that. Yeah.
Absolutely right. All right. Bishop and Friends coming up 9 to noon. Have a great Friday, Bo. We will talk to you next week. All right.
You guys too, guys. Talk to you soon.
Yep.
Shove it down your throat.
It's time for the buzzer.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another air conditioner breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day air installation.
Very quickly, we got to talk about it. The Waymos are out of control. Do you know what a Waymo is, Tyves?
I do not.
Waymo is the thing that's going to, they say, replace Uber. It's driverless cars.
They've got the little sensors and they
go around and pick you up. You can ride share them. In Atlanta, they have a ton of these things. They're testing it out in different markets. They're growing it in different markets. They apparently have a problem in some neighborhoods in Atlanta where when the Waymo vehicle is not in use, it doesn't just park because that would cost them money because you just can't park anywhere. It's Atlanta. So what they find is these things just start going into neighborhoods where there are cul-de-sacs and they drive around and they circle the cul-de-sac and they go around and they go out and they go to the next cul-de-sac and they just stay in motion until someone calls for one and then it goes to wherever it's supposed to go. So residents of these neighborhoods are saying now they got 10, 12 Waymos just roaming around in a big line throughout their neighborhood. And they're like, we can't, we're taking the dog, the dogs are out, the kids are out, these things are just driving around. So they're complaining that they need to get it fixed. But yeah, this is apparently this is the future, kids. This is where we're headed. Driverless cars clogging up your neighborhood cul-de-sac. Should be fun. All right, that's it for us. Bishop and Friends are next. Have a great Friday. We'll see you next week. It's T-Bone and Tyves on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Well, a heads up before I go. Starting tonight at 10 o'clock, we will be seeing two big ramps close over on the west side. We're talking 270 southbound and that 270 northbound ramp to 70 eastbound. So keep in mind, be aware. And this will be lasting, this project, for the entire weekend until Monday morning at 5. As for that detour, 270 to 70 westbound, getting off at Hilliard Rome Road. From there, you can head back eastbound towards 70. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic. Have a great